Blog Talk Radio.
Global Village. Get ready as we explore the expansiveness of human consciousness, discuss mystical experiences, and chat with intriguing guests on the unexplained, the mystical, and the supernatural. Remember to call in with your questions live on air, because Dr. Douglas is one of those rare individuals, like Edgar Cayce, Paul Solomon, and Ross Peterson, who found a way to access an energetic merge point where all consciousness and knowledge is shared. Scientists are now calling this the quantum field. So relax, listen in, and let's journey through the Global Village.
Welcome to the Global Village radio show, being broadcast internationally here tonight. It is January the 27th, 2023. Can you believe it? February and Valentine's Day is just around the corner. What happened to 2023? How did it get, you know, passed so far? Must be a dream. That's what it is. We're waking up from a dream, and it's really the end of the month. What do you say? This is Douglas James Cottrell speaking. I'm joined tonight with my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley. And we're here in bitter cold Canada with lots of snow, but where our hearts are in the spring. You know, that's going to come up real fast as well, at least we hope so. But between now and then, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about dream interpretation. You know, it really gets easy as you continue to investigate and attempt earnestly to interpret your dreams. We're going to talk a little bit about what a dream is. We're going to talk a little bit about how it can foretell or see or allow you to see the future. Do you believe you can see the future? Most likely you're going to say, no, the future's not here yet. Or, no, everybody has free will and free choice. Or something else. But we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. I believe just about anyone can see the future. I truly believe it from my research over the last 50-odd years or so. And as I'm going to ask you the questions, I'm going to demonstrate dream interpretation for you. And we're going to let you decide when you call in with your dreams whether that interpretation was accurate or not. I can do it very easily because, again, lots of experience. And I know a little bit about the language of the soul, which is dreams. And you know what? Dreams and meditation are basically the same. That's right. When you're dreaming, you're in a state of meditation, or at least altered consciousness. And when you're meditating, you're also in a state of altered consciousness, alpha level, whatever you want to call it. You're in a state of relaxation, contemplation, and you're visualizing something, or you're trying to get in touch with something in the great beyond. And what is it that's going on? Well, it's that connection, that clairvoyant essence of yourself, that ability to see, visualize, or project your mind to something out there to get an answer, to get a direction. Did you ever think of it that way? Well, that's what dreams are in essence. They are a part of the way you think, a part of the thoughts that come to your mind, and a part of the minds that make up you. You know, conscious mind, subconscious mind, middle mind, you know, those kinds of things. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. But most importantly, I'm going to get you to call in and, if you're brave enough, spit out a dream and I'll kind of interpret it for you. The number to call is 718-766-4421. Again, 718-766-4421. Pardon me for tripping over my tongue. I've been talking up a storm here for the last week or two, and well, it is Friday after all. So you're listening to the Global Village Radio Show with myself, Douglas James Cottrell, as the host, and my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley, who's standing by. And Paul is behind the scenes. Paul Hughes is our producer tonight, and he's going to come up with all those nifty, wonderful little bits and songs and little things to make the show go smoothly. And we're very appreciative he's here. But I'm going to ask, welcome to the show tonight, Doug. How are you doing, and have you had any dreams lately?
I always have dreams.
Isn't that true?
Yeah. Sometimes they're not too clear, but I know I dreamt, you know. And my interpretation is that if I don't remember in my dream, or say some nights I won't have any dreams, and I think, well, in my opinion, you can correct me, is that, well, I guess I don't need the dreams, and things are going fine. So,
what about you just didn't remember it? How's that?
Oh, that's you know, if I know I dreamt and I can vaguely remember it, then that's fine. But every once in a while, I'll sleep and don't have any sense that I dreamt. So, and that
have
just
you
to
had
make myself feel good, I say I probably didn't need any dreams right now. Things are going fine. So.
Oh, okay. That's a good strategy. Yeah. Okay, I like that one. That's better than standing on the corner in Spain and listening to somebody come walk up beside you and they're in an argument, almost speaking loudly, and you think, my gosh, and you look around and they're talking on the cell phone. Those were the days back then when people, you know, people used to talk like that, you know, and they were talking to themselves. But anyway, that wasn't dreaming. That was something else. But we're going to talk to our friends tonight out there in Radio Land, 718-766-4421. Again, 718-766-4421 is the hotline to call tonight, and we'll be taking your calls, and we're going to talk to you about your dreams and other things that go bump in the night. Dreams, the language of your soul. Many things go on when you sleep. From dreams to visions to visitations to sojourns in the spiritual realms, learning to differentiate between these higher dimensions helps you find that inner way and to that power within. It is easy once you know the basics on how to start your dreams. So if you learn how to interpret 10% of your dreams, you will master your life and you will encounter higher awareness and success in everyday life. I'm not going to guarantee that, but I'm going to say it because I believe it. And as you listen to the show tonight, my friends, call up your relatives and friends and say, hey, tune into the Global Village. There's a fellow on here that's teaching us how we can prosper by interpreting our dreams. I know it's like any other language. It takes a while to figure out how the articles and the different segments of any conversation or speech are assembled. And the same with dreams, almost the same, except that you're watching pictures. You are, if you like this, you're the script consultant, you're the director, and you're the talent in the dream. The dreams come from your mind. Therefore, the symbols of the dream come from your mind. You should be able to interpret them or realize them more exactly. Because they come from your mind, the dream, you should be able to interpret it. But why can't you? Why do you have difficulty? Why do you have trouble? Well, you don't understand the basics, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And when I get to Texas, I'll be there about the 10th or so of February. We're going to have a HOPE conference talking about these spiritual developments, this ability to gain the power within on an array of topics. Go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and click on the banner that says the HOPE conference. And it's all laid out there for you, very easily to comprehend, read, and maybe stick on that little button that says, yes, I'm coming, I want to sign up. And we'll have lots of personal time for people there. We anticipate to have an intense encounter. What would that be, of the 10th kind, you know? And we'll be able to talk to you and help you out a whole bunch. My intention there, my friends, is that you will be able to go to Texas, go to the HOPE conference, and come back with a lot of information that's going to help you in your life. Tonight, we're going to tease you a little bit with interpreting dreams, but remember, if you can interpret only 10% of what you dream, you will master your life. You will do it, because dreams are your magic mirror. You have the book of life in front of you. When you have a crisis in your life, a dream will come to you to guide you through that episode, that difficulty. Why can I say that? Because that's what's happened to me. Doug has had some interesting dreams as well in crucial times. I'll bet you have as well, my friends. I want to ask you this one question we're going to ask everybody as we come through the queue here on the questions. Again, 718 is the area code, 766-4421. Sounds like football, doesn't it? 766-4421 in the 718 area code. We're going to ask you if you think you can see the future. I know you can. But we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. We're going to get your opinion. So to start with, as we move through the menu of dreams, you know, there are a lot of things that go on, that go bump in the night, that you might not really think of as something other than a crazy, mixed up, sort of all over the place dream. You know, the kind where you're flying through the air, or you're diving into the deepest levels of the sea, or maybe you're running through the neighborhood with a buff, you know, and you're wondering, what the heck's that all about? Well, those are symbols, and just like road signs, when you go on the highway, you'll see little symbols, and those symbols mean a lot, don't they? You see a little, you know, square sign, and it immediately tells you slippery when wet. In other words, when the road has rained, that the car might slip more often than not. You'll see a steep hill coming ahead, and you'll have a little sign. You'll know immediately that this means danger. The car might be going down the hill, or it's too steep to go around. All kinds of little tidbits of information, or signs more exactly, to tell you a ton of information. So that's what we're going to talk about, and we're going to get you to call in, as I said. That magic number is, again, 718-766-4421. We have some people standing by in the queue, from Chicago, and the 773 and the 850. I think that's Florida. We're going to talk to those folks. And you too, my friends, if you call in at 718-766-4421. And the thing is about dreams, you know, they really are many things that go on in your sleep. That's what I mentioned. From dreams and visions, those are the little short, you know, those little snippy, very vibrant, clear images that are just like a snapshot, very brief. That's a vision. That's different to a dream where you're maybe having a trip and you're going across country, where there's movement and action in the dream. And all those things are important. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. You can also have visitations to the higher dimensions or realms. Did you know that? You can visit heaven. You can visit those dimensions where there are heavenly beings. You might even have a visitation with whoever is watching over you, meaning that religious figure that you pray to or appeal to from time to time, that religious icon in to you that's important. And we're going to help you learn the different approaches to these higher dimensions and how to interpret the language of your soul through dream interpretation. This will help you find your inner way to these higher dimensions. But also, more practically, here and now, it is going to help guide you through everyday life. Yes, everyday life. When you have a decision to make, you can have a dream as to the outcome of that decision. Maybe you need to ask yourself, should I go and work for company A or company B? Or if I go to some place and apply for a job, will I get the job? How can your dream indicate that? Because you can see the future. You can see the future. Dreams mostly are about the future. Sometimes they're a little bit about the past, and you're asking those questions. Gee whiz, what happened? Why did, you know, something happen to me yesterday or last week or last month or way back in my past? What was it that happened to me in my childhood that makes me do the things I do today? Dreams can unlock and reveal that information to you. Your mind is a treasure chest of things. It's discerning as to which part of that mind that you're going to visit, that you're going to use. And I can tell you from all my long time in dream interpretation, I am constantly, pleasantly surprised with the supernatural ability to give a short dream in such a simple symbol that is so relevant to what's coming. And if you understand that, then you know how to deal with what's coming. Are you an investor? You can make money through your dreams. Are you looking to be on a spiritual path and you want to know the truth? Which path is right for you? Where can you get a concept that gives you the truth to devote your life towards that way of thinking to be on the spiritual path? Dreams can guide you. Angels will show up in your dreams. Yes, they do. And they don't show up, you know, I can't say they don't do this, but they don't usually show up with wings and shimmering outfits and, you know, looking very fashionable as if they just got off a movie set in Hollywood. Sometimes they do, because that's what you're expecting, but most times they come to you in a unsuspecting, low-key way. But they come in a certain way, and we're going to talk about that tonight. The number to call is 718-766-4421. Tonight, just changing gears here, my friends, you probably watched that video of that poor man who was beaten up by the policeman. Some of you whom are out there didn't watch it because it was just so horrific. Some of my friends I was talking to earlier in the night likewise said, I don't want to see it. My heart goes out to the poor man and his family. I'm more of a newspaper man, and I wanted to watch and see what the facts were. And it was horrific. And we want to send a prayer to the family and to the poor man's mommy for what she's enduring, what their whole family is enduring, and most importantly, what happened to this man was just plain evil. For those of you who might not have seen the reviews on the stations tonight, just briefly, it was five policemen that were charged for beating up this man after a traffic stop. They pulled him out of the car very violently. They started punching on him, and they were going to tase him, and he took off. He panicked. They tracked him down, and then they put the boots to him, as they say, literally. They beat him with a baton. They beat him with the boots, and they punched him in the face several times. And then for more than a half an hour, he laid on the ground with the firemen, ambulance drivers standing by, doing nothing. He died 3 days later, and the police were charged. They were, of course, released from their positions, and so they ought to be. We're going to dedicate the show to that man tonight and to his memory, and we're going to say a prayer. And the one thing that his family was asking for, the protests are going on now across the country, was for calmness, and that seems to be what's going on. The people are quietly, silently protesting the brutality that happened, and our heart goes out with those people. This is the spiritual way to do things, not to forgive, not to forget, but to stand up for justice. And that's what this is going to be all about. In the next few days and weeks, we're going to be talking about this family, the situation, and this horrific beating this man had taken. So we'll dedicate the show a little bit to his memory, and we're going to get on with the five dream. Get on with interpreting your dreams tonight as we go through this. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back, and we're going to go to the phones. So stay tuned, and we'll be back on the other side. This is Douglas Cottrell with Doug Bentley saying stay tuned. We're right back.
Reading Conversations with the Akashic Field by Dr. Douglas James Cottrell coaches you through methods of battling fear and self-doubt to gain the spiritual strength you need for defense and stamina. Tapping into an ever-present source to help you win today. Visit DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon today for Conversations with the Akashic Field.
Listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Call in and ask a question about tonight's topic at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome back to the show, my friends. We're dedicating this show to that man in Memphis, and his name is Tyre Nicholas, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. He was 29 years old, and he suffered a horrendous beating at the hands of police officers. So our prayers go to the family, and it's going to reshape the country for the next few days. So, you know, the mummy has asked for calmness as the protests continue to go out. And let's hope that this this poor man is that his life is going to improve something in the country and in how police are treating each other. That's what we need, more love, not more violence, more love. And everybody has to be mindful of what's going on. But there is huge anger out there. Across the board, and as a spiritual path, part of being on the path is not to give in to anger and to put limits on desires and be self-regulating, that you don't get carried away, especially when you're big and strong. Might does not make it right. So may God bless Tyre wherever he is for his short life, and may he be in the heavens above watching over what's going on, that his life is hopefully making a difference to what is going on right now. Okay, we're going to hit the phones pretty soon. The number is 718-766-4421. Basically, the difference between a dream and a vision is this. Visions tend to be very short, very clear, and isolated to a single subject or element. In other words, if you were having a vision of a zoo, around the outside, the periphery of the scene would be perhaps black or nothing. And in the middle of the view would be a bright, shiny, let's say, giraffe. And you would see the giraffe doing something, walking, looking at you, interacting with some other characters in this vision. But it would be very intense and very short. And when you wake up in the morning, you go, what's that all about? I was dreaming about being in the ocean, and a whale came right up to me and smiled at me. What the heck is that? That's silly. Well, no, You're in the ocean. You're in the greater consciousness. The whale represents creation, God Almighty. And the whale comes up to you, the biggest of all mammals, and smiles at you. The action in the dream is smiling. And so that is, in a way, appreciation or good tidings or what you're doing, the big animal representing a spiritual being, perhaps even God, is smiling upon you. That's a good thing. And that means when the divine smiles upon you, that rewards or good things are coming. All that from a little scene in a very intense, a few moments in time, or at least it will seem that way, of a single item, a single being, in a very plain setting in the water. The water represents the greater consciousness. Well, how do I know that? Because the ocean is the greater consciousness. All kinds of animals live in there. And anything to do with water has a spiritual connotation. Yes, you're looking at the greatest world where we all came from, creation out of the waters. So we can read a lot into that. And of course, a lot of it is subjective. It's what you think of the ocean. I mean, if you're afraid of sharks and you see yourself trying to stick a toe in the ocean and there is a fin coming at you, you know, say, whoa, there's a shark out there. This is a warning dream. Something's going to come and get me. There's a fear out there. You know, be aware. You know, don't put your foot in the water, which might mean don't get involved in something that you're thinking of getting involved in because somebody out there is going to take advantage of you. See how it works? The attitude or the emotion attached to the item gives you a key or a nudge as to what the interpretation is. And then the setting, and then the action plus the setting, you can deduce or interpret as to what the meaning is more likely to be. But remember, it's your dream or your vision, and therefore the symbols used are yours to discover. It's not crazy, it's in your mind, and the way you think about things may exactly be what the dream or vision is attempting to communicate or say. Which leads us to the question, who is attempting to communicate to us? Well, we can say something out there that likes us. We can say, you know, somebody who's out there benefiting us somehow. But the more exact answer is your high self or soul mind, trying to get a message to you when you're down here on the lower level, from the high mind to the low mind, or from the high self to the low self. That is one way that the soul communicates with you. Now, did you think about that before? That your higher self, your soul mind, is trying to get a message down to you here down in the mundane world, the low or the small I am? Exactly right. It is. And therefore, you're being guided. You have some spiritual benefit. When you're meditating and you're trying to get in touch with that higher mind, those more divine beings, those saints, those dimensions above, the first mind you go through is your own mind, your higher mind or high self. That part of you that is the soul mind, immortal and lives forever. It just kind of wears this little old body that we have whatever it is, 80, but it's you. And so you're trying to give yourself a message. Does that sound weird? You're trying to give yourself a message. And that's what dreams are all about. Well, not all about. That's what that isolation part, that little bit of understanding your dreams is about. But a vision is a short, succinct, clear, very intense image. Doing something. And whatever it's doing, that's the answer. That's the warning. That's the benefit of what this vision is. Now, have you ever had those epic dreams where you're in a battlefield and you're riding a horse and you're running across the ground and you're fighting with other soldiers and then, you know, you're just all over the place, a lot of action and things like that. You're going forward, you're going uphill and you're fighting your way up the hill. And there's a big sort of stone path as you're walking or marching up the hill or fighting your way up the hill. Okay, you can say, Was I watching a late movie last night? What the heck was going on? Not really. It's not the movie on TV. It's the movie in your mind. And all those scenes that I just described, they have like a paragraph in a letter, a specific idea or a theme. They're tied together by the action you're going through in the dream. In this particular, I'm making this up, of course, in this particular episode of a dream, you're fighting your way through all the scenes in the dream, which means it's going to be a battle. It's going to be some difficulty. Or you're winning. You're overcoming resistance. You are progressing. The directions in the dream, my friends, are very, very important. Up is good. Down is not so good. Left might be for you the future. It is for me. Right means the past, as it does for me. Some people have those reversed. For them, going to the right in the dream is the future. And they know that by working with their dreams and seeing the outcome of their dream play out in their life. So left is the future for me, right is the past, and you'll find out yourself as you start to record your dreams and analyze your dreams as you go through time. What is straight ahead? Anybody have an idea? How about we go the other way, go backwards? Of course, that's what that means. You're going backwards in life. You need to turn around and go forwards. To go forward in life is to go forward in time. It's to achieve and succeed. If it's on a level playing field, let's say a sidewalk, a paved road, a sandy beach, a boardwalk, the type of walkway that you're on is how easy it's going to be. If you're on pavement, it's real easy. If you're on sand, it's comfortable, but it's not as easy to walk on, but it's enjoyable. If you're on cobblestones or you're walking on a gravel road, well, at least you're on a road, but those stones and those the gravel is going to be a little difficult for you. Stony feet, little issues, uncomfortable, but at least you're moving ahead, moving forward. Means some troubles ahead. Keep on keeping on, endure it. Are you getting the hang of it? Doug, what do you think? Are those symbols that are generic to everyone else?
Once you explain them, they are. But as you said before, it does take some practice, and all the time you're learning. I mean, I've learned a lot from you over the years, and I'm getting better interpreting my dreams. So it's a matter of paying attention. And as you, one of the important things that you, two important things you talked about, the emotion and action, not just the symbols, but what's going on, which is really important.
Well, I believe that's part of the course and how to understand those things. Mm-hmm. You need somebody like me to explain them, because basically interpreting your dreams, it's really simple if you understand the basics. And you've just mentioned, too, the emotions and the direction or the action. And so tonight, if we're going to go to the phone, and we're going to take a couple of dreams, maybe Barbara and Carol and maybe Michelle and anybody else that wants to call in at 718-766-4421, and we'll interpret your dreams right here in real time. And hopefully I'll be able to interpret them. I mean, there is occasionally those kinds of dreams which are, you know, blockbuster dreams that take a little while to analyze, but every symbol, every action, every scene in your dream has a message, just like words in a sentence and just like sentences in a paragraph. And we're going to talk a little bit about what you, my friends, have to dream about. We realize that everybody is probably a little bit upset at what's going on TV today, but that's okay. The world is changing. There are great difficulties. And as we are all one and we come together, our hearts go out to each other. And so what's going on across the country today? People are perhaps just taking it easy. And that's okay, too. If you're tuning in late, the number to call is 718-766-4421. But there is something else going on in the world. There's a shadow over the world. There's some sort of feeling that makes you tired. If you've been feeling tired or you've been feeling, you know, like held back, it's not necessarily your fault. It's not your blood sugar level dropping. It's because there, I don't know what the astrologers would say, but there's something, Mercury going retrograde or something, or maybe, you know, Pluto's having a fight with Jupiter. I don't know. But, and forgive me, astrologers, I'm not trying to make fun. Just saying there might be some conflict going up there in the heavens. I'm not an astrologer, but I do know that there are some heavenly influences that sometimes make themselves known, like what might be going on tonight. So without getting myself in any more trouble, Doug, I think we'll head on over to the phones and see if we can interpret a few dreams tonight. And I want everybody to pay attention how I interpret them. We're going to look at the general scene. We're going to look at whether it's a vision, a dream, a symbolic dream, a prophetic dream about being able to see the future. Remember, I believe most dreams take place about in the future. And so understanding the difference in those four different areas, which we're going to talk about tonight, is a key to which direction you take in interpreting your dreams. So, Paul, who have you selected to be numero uno tonight? And let's go talk to them.
Well, Douglas, we've selected, actually, she selected herself by being the first caller. Barbara is on the line from Chicago.
Hello.
Hello, Barbara. How are you tonight?
Hi, Doug. Good, good. I have a dream and a nightmare. The dream
They're both the same.
Was,
go ahead.
But the dream was, excuse me, I was in the basement of the church I attended. It was a school that was attached, a Christian school that was attached, and I was in the basement, and it was dark, and it had classrooms down there. We used to have classrooms and meetings and things of that nature, and I did remember seeing, I wasn't afraid, though. And it's kind of hard to remember it all, but there were people. All I can else remember from it is that I was going up the stairs. And that's all I remember of it. But it was at the Christian school that I attended. Well, I didn't attend the school, but I attended the church there. And it actually had a very warm, loving feeling, because I always like going to church. So I don't know.
Well, okay, just a second. I'm going to move my chair around a little bit. And by doing that, I end up moving myself away from the microphone shortly. So you have a dream. You're in a church. You're in a church basement, or was it the basement next to the church?
Right.
It was the basement next to the church?
Correct.
Is that what you said? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so let's use the simple parameters. Where are you? You're in the basement. It's all dark. Where do you go? What's the action in the dream? You go up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you? You're in the church, and you finish by feeling warm and comfortable as you go up the stairs. So the short answer to that, without taking the dream apart too much, is that you're in the dark right now. You're at the lowest level, and you're wanting spiritual illumination, and so you walk away from the darkness and up the stairs to the light. So whatever church you're in, it may be one that you're going to or one you're attending or one you're about to attend. But the action in the dream is forward-looking. So where you are now is, again, some uncertainty, some shadow, some darkness. But you are going to gain spiritual illumination. That's the action in the dream, one step at a time, you're ascending. This is a really good dream. But being in the basement is kind of spooky, and you go like, oh my gosh, I was in the basement, what the heck? Well, that's just showing you where you are now. In your mind, you're not illuminated yet. You're sort of in the world, in the basement, you're stuck. But you decide that you're going to step up the stairs, and you do. That is showing you the direction that's going on in your life and will continue on your life for some time, because there's, you know, 10, 12 stairs you go up. That might be 10 or 12 weeks, 10 or 12 years. But you are ascending and you're doing well. Now, some of the other things in the dream, what did you see when you were in the basement? What did you see when you're going up the stairs? What did you see when you got to the top of the stairs?
Well, I didn't get to the top of the stairs. It's a pretty tall, it had at least, oh my, more than 14 steps for sure. But there was a group of people, I'm trying to think of, my children went to the school too. They were more, it would have been, I think it is from the past, because I think it wasn't at the age I am now. It was a, it was about, let's see, 25, maybe 30 years ago. The people that I saw that were there, kind of in the backdrop of it, but there was quite a few people. Why they were there, I don't know. Was I running from something or trying to hide from something? I don't know. But I felt very secure in the building, in the school basement, basically.
Okay. Well, again, the basement is a starting point, and you're going from lower to higher. The people around may be or represent your past, people that you used to know, and you're leaving them behind, so to speak, or you're passing them by. In other words, the troubles, the people, the concerns, the old ways, you're moving on to new ways now. But that's comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's not so bad. And so you're, and I've sort of tested you about the stairs when I say, you know, 10 or 12. And you said, basically, there's a lot. It's endless. Well, that's the steps to heaven. And that's what it is. There is a never-ending staircase to heaven, because there's always one step more to take, one dimension to go through, one higher lesson to learn. And so the staircase should be somewhat unobtainable, or at least it's in front of you, which means you are going to be moving forward to that level or point that you can arrive at or see. There is more, but at least for the foreseeable future, there's quite a few steps to take. And because you're on the staircase and because you're taking your steps, you're on your way to, as I said earlier in the short analysis of the dream, on your way to success and the way to spiritual illumination. The people around you, I think, represent old ways, ideas, people you have known or people that are now moved on in your past. And as you started out as a child in this sort of remembrance of the old days, maybe this is something to do with circumstances or opinions you had about church or school. And now you're on your way, you're rising above it, you're moving forward. So you're moving away from the past and moving into something new in a comfortable, secure way. And it's interesting, the school and the church is next door, one and the other. One's education for the brain, and the other's the education for the soul, or at least association. The people that you're with are the new people you're with, the new people around you, the new comfort you have means this is showing you you're on the right track, but you're moving on up, and the people who are sort of staying behind or the people in the past, you're moving on from them. And that's a bit of a hard thing to comprehend, that you're moving ahead while things are being left behind. But that's okay. You're comfortable with it. Make sense?
Yeah, I am comfortable with it. Yes, that's correct. I am. Mm-hmm.
So tell us about
sense.
Your nightmare now. Yeah.
Okay, the nightmare.
Tell us about.
I had two sets of keys. It's not really a nightmare, but so I have the FOB, the original key, that it's a, just a regular key, and then the remote thing to open up the trunk and the car door lock. I have retraced all my steps. I can't find the second set of keys. And the only person I could think of, it came to me the other day, and I thought, oh, Dr. Cottrell, if he could help somebody find their wallet, he could help me find these keys. Because I can't, it's cold, and I want to start my car, and I don't want to leave it running unlocked. It's illegal in the state of Illinois at any rate. You can't leave it running and have it being, you know, unattended. And unlocked. So I need to find those keys, Dr. Cottrell. Any insight?
So let me get this straight. This isn't a dream. This is a real thing where you've lost your second set of keys. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. That's why I say it's not.
Oh,
it's
well,
not really.
Gee.
No. Okay. It's a nightmare, well, all right, but it's not a dream.
No. Well, see, my mind was trying to, when you're talking, my mind's thinking second set of keys, second opportunity, you know, somebody's lost my keys, I've lost an opportunity. And then you say, no, if somebody can find your, if I can help find his wallet, you can find my keys. So what I do is I first go to the end, and I see you holding up the keychain between your thumb and forefinger, that I see the key in between your thumb and forefinger, and you're kind of wiggling it or waving. So you're going to get it back, okay? That's the end. How it comes to you, that's the mystery, but I see you holding it in your hand, so it's coming back. And I see the other set of keys. This is in your left hand, you're holding the keys up to me, and your right hand, you have the keys in the palm of your hand, as if you would, hold them in your hand if you were going to put them in the ignition. So, you're wondering, did somebody take them? I don't see that.
No.
But I see them coming back.
I don't think somebody. Yeah, no, I don't think somebody took them. I had my old puppy dog. I had treats in my pocket, and I wouldn't give it to her all at once. Well, one day I left the my jacket in the car, and what she did was she. Ate a hole in the inside pocket of my coat. And I was always going to just fix it, you know, stitch a little fabric in there. And I didn't get around to it. And I always said, oh, yeah, I got to get this. Oh, yeah, I got to get this. And I was thinking about getting a dog, another dog. And my former dog was a golden retriever. And I was saying to my daughter, I said, yeah, I says, not now, because it's too cold out, and I don't want to have to be training the dog in this kind of weather. I says, maybe when it gets warmer out, you know, I'll start looking for a dog, or, you know, you can start looking for a dog. And I says, no, better yet, the universe, I've never had to look for a dog, that their spirits always came to me. So I says, well, I told her, I says, no, we can't look for a dog. I take that back. Every dog I've ever had, it's been given to me. It's been found. I said, it's got to come to me. So I don't know. That's how the keys got lost, because my former sweetheart, Haley, put a little hole in my pocket.
And it must have fallen through. Yeah, okay. Well, that leads to the way when I asked the question, I said, did you think somebody took them? Because I didn't see that. And what I see is they're coming back and you're holding them up like, you know, here they are, that kind of an image I have. So the next thing is you might want to check around the fold in the car, in the seat somewhere. It could be between the bottom, the cushion on the bottom and the vertical, you know, horizontal vertical. Could be in the car, could be in the house. But it's between something that looks like it's gray in color, and I see you surprised when you find them, like they're almost going to be in plain view. But I can see that it's if somebody, you know, if they're in the couch where you've sat on the couch, and the keys go, you know, between the seat and the backrest of the couch. But it could be in the car, but you're going to get them back. So
well, that's
not such a nightmare. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Let us
because
know.
I okay. You know, no, I don't normally lose things. And when I can't put my hands on something, I'll just ask the angels and it comes to me. Well, they must be busy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's trying times now. And it has, and I've had the feeling that they're in the house because I've already did the car. And I thought, well, maybe they were at church. Maybe they got between the cushion and the bench at church, because I think that's where I remember having both keys in my hand the mm-hmm. day I got out of the car at church.
Well, that
now,
could
I didn't
be.
Check at church.
That's sort of
yeah.
That sort of fits the scenario I'm seeing. I can see them poking out a little bit between the seat and the backrest of what looks like cushions in the car, or in the couch, or in the church. It makes hard for me to distinguish, but look, you're going to get them back for sure. I can see them in your hand. So there you go. And that's very wise of you to, you know, not get a puppy at this time of weather. It's to wait off till some good weather comes. Word to the wise, you know, if you're going to get a puppy now to house train them, better wait until better weather comes along. And then, of course, you said, well, I shouldn't worry too much because all those animals kind of choose me. They end up, they come to you. And that's kind of like I'm the same way. When an animal comes to me, I know it's the right one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Haley, my kids wanted, I was having, I went to this little Irish store in a strip mall, and there was a little Pets R Us or something. I can't think of the name of the place. It doesn't matter. So anyway, my daughter says, I'm going to go look at the pets. I go, you go ahead. So I'm in the Irish store and just looking around, and my little guy at the time, I think he was five, six, and he says, Mom, you got to come here. I go, no, I don't. And he's like, yeah, Mom, come on. He used to hit the side of his leg all the time. And I says, oh, okay. So I walked in there, and the kid, my daughter liked this one dog, and it's the yappy dog, and I don't like yappy dogs. And it had way too much energy for that. It wouldn't have gone with my little guy. And I happened to look around the place, and there was these two dogs, and they were golden retrievers. One was, I said, are they both boys? And she goes, no, actually, the sign is wrong. This one's a girl. And I says, I'd like to see the girl.
Okay.
And that was it. That was her. But I saw her 5 years before in a dream.
Well, there you go.
I
that's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I've had those things in my dream as well, I've seen any dog or cat, or when we lived in the country, a horse or something coming to us. We always saw them in advance in the dreams. And this proves the point that you can see the future. 5 years in advance is a long time. So anyway, Pat, sorry, I don't mean Pat. I'm looking at the queue here. Anyway, Barbara, we have a list of callers here, and my eye went to the next caller in Connecticut. So thank you very much for making the show tonight, and let us know when you get your keys back.
I definitely will, and thank you so much. And let me just say, my prayers go out to the family and their loss.
To Tyre?
I'm very heartfelt and feel sorry for their loss, and hope that God wraps his arms around them and just holds them close.
Mm. The whole city of Memphis is with you on that one as well. So, okay, thank you very, very much.
Thank you,
Barbara. And
bye-bye.
Yeah, okay. Bye-bye for now. Paul, where are we heading on next?
We're going back to Chicago, Douglas, and we've got Carol on the line.
Hello.
Hello, Carol. Welcome. Welcome, Carol. How are you?
All right. It's getting a little chilly here. I had a dream.
I wasn't going to bring that up. Yeah, go ahead.
I had a dream. My sister's boyfriend, she had killed him, and she wouldn't call the police. So I don't know what the holy heavens that was about. but it was I woke up, I was, you know, confused and wondered, well, why didn't she call him? So I don't know.
So I didn't get the first part. It was somebody had a dream about killing two people?
What happened is she killed her boyfriend, but she didn't call the police. She didn't call them. I haven't had a dream about nobody killing nobody, so I don't know what that was about.
That's called the psychic newspapers. This is sometimes because you're intuitive and you're very much trying to work with your spiritual abilities. When you have a dream like that, you're seeing somebody who's done something, you know, like killed a person, and I assume it was maybe by accident, and you're seeing that they're not behaving properly, in other words, calling the police, and you're wondering why. This is your mind reaching out, and there's been some issue, problem that your mind has, for whatever purpose, has fixated on this person in distress. And you're just watching the evolution of the events happening in the dream, which is somebody, some woman is going to have a problem, a death is going to occur, and then she doesn't call the police, which she ought to, because by not doing so, she's going to get in trouble. And that might be what your mind is fixating on, is that this woman, had she called the police instead of trying to hide it, she would not be in trouble. So you're really seeing the future, but randomly. It's a random access thing. And you're seeing this vision because it'll probably be in the newspapers in real life. And you'll say, I had that dream about that. Many of us have dreams about future events and things that are in a newspaper, because we like to read the newspapers, we like to hear new things, and we read the good and the bad and the ugly just the same. Matter of fact, people in newspapers know that bad news travels and sells faster than good news. So I'm thinking that you're just seeing what I call the psychic newspapers, a glimpse of some random access situation that your heart's going to go out to that person, or you're observing it, kind of looking down and seeing the actors play out this problem, the situation, and you're saying, why didn't you call him? What's the matter with him? Because that's your opinion, and that's what you should do, and that's your intellect assessing what's going on. But the view, the image of this whole thing, is like you're random accessing, you're switching channels on the TV, and up pops for a short, brief moment, this scene of this death and this woman not calling the police, and then you change channels and you move on. Yeah. So it's kind of a vision, but it's a future view of a circumstance, and that's why I call it the psychic newspapers, meaning it's news to you, it's in some time in the future, and it has some, you know, some event, but it's not necessarily pertaining to you at all, just an observance. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
So, yeah, that's your mind reaching out in time and seeing something. But the reverse is that you're remembering that scene, and that's all you remembered. You could have been seeing a long story of dreams, the relationship before it came to that critical point. And then because it was such an emotional shock, that embedded it in your memory. Otherwise, it would have just been watching people do something, maybe have a fight and keep going, and it wouldn't sustain itself, or it wouldn't be important. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I have another question. I was in a
sure.
store, and it's not a dream, and one of the guys in there, he looks like he's Japanese. And he was selling. Flowers, and he had a Buddhist, a lot of Buddhist statues and everything. And so, I just assumed that he was He was Buddhist. And I said, well, what religion are you? He said, I don't have one. So does one have to choose a religion or no? I mean, is it beneficial for one to choose a religion?
Is this a dream here, or is this a question?
This is a question. It's not a dream, because he was selling bamboo plants and everything, and he had Buddhist stuff in his store, and I just assumed he was Buddhist. And I asked him, I said, well, what religion are you? We started talking about the plant. And I asked him, I said, well, what religion are you? He said, I don't have a religion. And I was just stunned, you know, because I said, I know he's Buddhist, though. But he said he doesn't have a religion.
Yes, but Carol,
so is it, huh?
Carol, he's a store owner, and he's not going to let it get out that he's a Buddhist, a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian. He's not going to do that. He's selling these ornaments, if I can call them that, to everybody. So he may have also had the encounter where somebody said, are you a Buddhist? And he said, yes, I am. And then they beat him up, or they screamed at him when they walked out of the store, or who knows. So store owners are kind of neutral. And for you to ask him what his religion is might have been a little inappropriate, or, you know, like, you know, sort of treading on him a bit, which would have forced him into, you know, basically covering his tracks by saying, no, I don't have a religion or whatever, you know, sort of giving it the whitewash kind of, you know what I mean? Like just sloughing it off, I think is what we would say it up here. And so he didn't really tell you, but I mean, to look at all those Buddhist things, I would say more than likely you're right. But sometimes you have to be right and be silent at the same time.
Yeah, because like this one particular guy, him and I, we were talking, and I don't really care, you know who you vote for, and I'm diplomatic enough to, you know, hear your story. So anyway, he was telling me that, you know, why he wanted to vote on President Trump. So it got back to the store owner. No, me and the store owner was talking. And, you know, I told her, you know, I said he has to be careful about telling people what his preference is. If he's, if he wants to sell garages, doors, and all this stuff. She said, yeah, I told him to stop talking about that. But see, I understand what you mean now.
It's also, we have a lot of Trump supporters north of the 49th parallel as well. And there are people who are motivated by watching a certain television show, cable show at night, and they have strong opinions. And, you know, you were picking it up the same thing. And for him to be talking again in the store about political, this and that and the other things, not necessarily wise, but sometimes people just can't hold back. They've got to try to convince somebody else about their political candidate and how they're better than the other one. And in this day and age, it seems to be much more prevalent and much more predominant and much more, let's call it emotional or enhanced with emotion. And that's the polarization of the country. I'm trying to explain it away to say, you're right. He shouldn't have been taking sides nor expressing his view. But sometimes these people can't help themselves. They just, I have friends, I get them and they tell me, you know, this and that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I go, well, I don't really care. And that's almost as bad as disagreeing with them, because I say, I'm disinterested, and they tell me I should be, and then I know I'm in trouble. But it's not forcing your will on somebody else is the spiritual lesson. In this situation, you know, your intuition is probably right on the money, and the person's acting inappropriately perhaps, but it's forgivable. It's kind of like, okay, monkey sees what a monkey sees, monkey does what a monkey does, and that meaning they're not going to change. It's not calling them names or anything. It's just my way of saying, you know, that's what they are. That's what they think. That's what they do. And okay, God bless them and move on. So in this situation, you're looking at, sort of the way it ought to be. And then there's the way it is, Carol. God bless you.
And one last thing, Dr. Cottrell, before you go. I was wondering, how in the holy heavens can we help? He's a patron at the library. And he hasn't become aware that he is, I think his olfactory glands are damaged because he isn't aware of his smell and how it permeates throughout the library. They had to eventually suspend him for a couple of days. So I was trying to find out how in the holy heavens can we help them. I don't know.
Well, you're on the right track of saying the man has an issue, and I would think slipping him a little note, somehow without anybody seeing it, saying, I am your friend, and you say, I'm your friend, and I don't want to embarrass you or anything like that, but... you might not be aware that maybe, you're sweating a lot, or your clothes need to be laundered a little more often, but you may not realize that some people are like that. They perspire a lot or they have this aversion to taking baths or showers or something like that. We don't know the exact circumstances, but slipping them a little note saying, I'm a good friend of yours and I don't want to embarrass you in any way, shape or form. But I'm just going to say this once to you and, just to bring it to your attention, you can throw this note away and nobody will be the wiser and everything's okay. And then you say, you have a little bit of a BO problem and maybe it's your clothes, maybe it's the soap you're not using or using, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So many times he just doesn't get it. He like when I keep talking about trying to make more people aware of karma, like they're knocking at the door. It's just that he's not processing it. And I don't know how the whole heavens to help him. I don't really know.
Well, then you don't. If you don't know how to help him, then there's nothing to do. Now, if you have already tried the things we've suggested, where you give him a note or a letter or you mention it to him or whatever. Sometimes I was talking to a fellow who was in Desert Storm the other day, and he said, he was talking about a buddy. And he said, well, we're down at the gym, and look at the guy. He's 60 years old, and he's looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I did that for him. I called him a fat ass, pardon me, a long time ago. And look at him now. And I said, well, you said the right words to the man at the right time. That's exactly the terminology he needs. That's why I said it on the air just like that. Because I've done, I've said things to people that I would never say in such a way. And we're talking like get off your top, off your duff or something. It's the words I'd never use. And the person was motivated by those remarks. So where I'm going with that is going back to this man, and if there's something you can say or do, then do it. But if you've already done it and nothing happens, then you tolerate it. This is the way he is. And if he's a little smelly, well, that's his problem. We have tried to tell him, convince him, inform him, and he's maybe stubborn, resisting or whatever. But he has free will and free choice, and that's the karmic event. And so you say, okay, his karma is that he has a body odor problem. My karma is I'll put some perfume on. I'll sprinkle it on him when he's not looking. No, I'm not telling you to do that. But I'll just say, okay, I'll get around it. But don't get upset about it. Don't feel any emotion whatsoever. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I just hate I can't. help him, but it's just that he has to become aware, just like everybody about karma. They just got to become aware. Once you become aware, and I hate I'm aware of it, because it looks like what I do comes back so fast. It makes me sick. Woo. I said, I don't know why I listen to your show. And because when you told me, when you said, one day you said, well, when all this stuff, you're going to wonder, why is all this stuff happening to me? And then you'll understand karma a little bit better then.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, the fortune and the misfortune, you know.
Well, that's because you're looking. You know, there was what comes to mind is an old saying about a company. They were having a meeting and they said, you know, since we hired that complaints person to take all the calls and emails about complaints, we've never had so many calls and complaints ever before. When we never had that person, we never had so many complaints. And some wise old wag in the back stood up and said, yeah, it's because we never heard about it. The people just quit and went down the street, or they didn't buy our product anymore. Because we have this man, he's fielding all these complaints. We're keeping our customers because we're doing something about it. So the lesson there is, as Jesus warned his disciples, he said, you know, I've made you aware of many things. And they all were going, mm-hmm, yeah, we're really happy. He said, I've been your rabbi, I've been your teacher, I've taught you many things. That's the background that is coming through. You got your phone on a little bit there, Carol. Anyway, he said to his disciples, I've taught you all these things. And they went, yeah, well, thank you, about spiritual law and spiritual advancement. And then he turned it around on them and said, okay, it would have been better that you didn't know these things and you were ignorant, because there's no sin, there's no karma, there's no consequence other than figuring out, you know, it's good or bad behavior, it's comfortable or uncomfortable. He said, but because I've told you and I've taught you these things, now you know the difference. And by knowing the difference, you're condemned by the truth. So don't do bad things, because now you know they're bad things. So that's the whole thing about understanding spiritual law, is getting to that point where you say, okay, I know better, and now I can't go back. So sometimes people who are very wise say, I don't want to know anything. I'm happy the way I am. Don't tell me. But then they don't get the benefit of being aware and being spiritually empowered. So there you go. By being who you are and listening to the show and picking up little bits of wisdom here from the show every now and then, you are becoming a better, smarter, more spiritually aware person. Your dreams are getting better. Your intuition is getting better. Your understanding of the heavens and the higher dimensions is better. And I think that's a big benefit, rather than just having a mundane life where you just go through life on the horizontal. Don't you?
Well, it helps. It helps you create your life, you know, by your present, past, and future, you know, actions. It helps you create your life. But it's to become aware sometimes is a misfortune sometimes, because, I mean, it comes back right away. I mean, whoa.
Go ahead.
I said, but the good thing about it, when you do a lot of good, it's just like I'm trying to get all this stuff out of here. And the more I give, the more I get back. And it's something. Woo!
That's right. It's better to be aware. But the reason it comes back so fast is to remind you that you're off the path a little bit. And so when you know the law so well, there is no comeuppance. There is no something coming back. There is just straight ahead, because you don't fall off the path. You don't take one step back and two steps forward and one step back. You continue to progress, but you have to know the law and know the law so well that there's no doubt, there's no pain, and everything moves forward very well. So looking at what you're saying to me is, Douglas, thank you very much for sharing some wisdoms. I've learned a lot from this show. It's amazing. But Douglas, every time I make a mistake, wham, it comes right back. And then I'm saying, yes, Carol, you're a really smart gal. You know a lot. You've been a dedicated listener to the show, and which we're very grateful and appreciative of. But the idea is that, you know, the more you learn, the more it happens to you. And the more it happens to you, the more you know that you don't know. And the more you don't know is the more that you have the opportunity to know. So that at the end of the day, you know without even somebody saying more than two words for a circumstance or a situation, and you know exactly where they're coming from, know exactly what to do, and know exactly how to help them. That's what you gain in persistence and going through the same or similar circumstance one octave at a time. You get to the higher octave, you know instantly what the situation is, what the answer is, how to help them, or sometimes it's better not to help them. They have to find out, make their own lesson, make their own mistake. By doing something for people, might be doing them a disservice. And when you understand everything around a certain problem, then you know whether to intervene or not. But you shouldn't interfere. Don't do it for them. I'm talking to everybody now. Don't interfere. Don't do it for them. Don't tell them what's right, what's wrong. They don't know. As a matter of fact, sometimes, have you ever met a person where you say, please don't touch the wet paint on the bench? What do? They go over and they touch the bench and they got wet paint on their fingers. And you look at them and say, why did you do that? I just told you it was wet paint. And they'll say, oh, I just wanted to test it. I didn't believe you or something. So sometimes when you tell people it's something good for them, you do them a disservice because they're going to do exactly opposite. So being wise is going through life and going through events that you know it so well that there is no doubt that what you say or do or suggest is the right answer. And you wait until somebody asks a question. That's wisdom too. Make sense?
Yeah, but I tell you, that comma is something else. I mean, it's...
Of course. But of course.
I'm glad you taught it to me, though.
Well, you're a smart lady. You listen, and you've been actively trying to improve on some of the comments we've made, as I would hope everybody in our audience would be attempting to do to improve themselves. I know I can say things, I can see things, I can talk about future things, but that's what I do about seeing the future. And I know the person listening to me, when I say something that's not in their mind, in other words, something that they can't possibly comprehend, think about, or have thought about, or something that's foreign to them, their first reaction is to reject it. That doesn't make sense, and it's in one ear and out the other. Years ago in Toronto, I was on a pretty popular radio station. CJRN was a big news station in the daytime, and it had a late-night talk show on Sunday nights. Now we're talking really late, like when my show ends, theirs would begin. And so I was on that show with Richard Serrett, and I said to him, I had a vision that the earth was rotating slower on the inside at the core than it was at the outside. So the core was spinning at a different speed than the crust. And I went on to say, I think this is something that science should study or know about. As a matter of fact, I'm going to, on the air, challenge Dr. Suzuki, a very famous scientist and a naturalist. I'm going to challenge him to prove me wrong. Find out if the Earth's core is spinning at a different speed than the crust. A couple of days ago, that came out in the news. There was somebody in Europe had done the study and found that exactly that was happening, that the Earth's core was like a golf ball. It was round and hard, or like a golf ball. And then outside of that hard core was a molten mass of, let's say, lava. There were four different levels, but I'm not going to go through them. But the core, the fluid around the core, all the way out to the mantle and then to the crust. And they were talking about this phenomena that some doctor had finally concluded, or the whole scientific community was now amazed to find out this fact, that the core was spinning at a different speed than the crust. Now, I had said this more than 20 years ago in Toronto. I had a vision of it, and it was something that was accurate. But at the time, in one ear and out the other, oh, the psychic guy said something on radio. Oh, well, yeah, well, whatever. That's crazy. That'll never happen. But I did broadcast it because I had a vision of it in a dream. And that's why it's important to understand your dreams, and maybe come to Texas if you're interested, and I can teach you more about that at the Hope Conference. But once you understand that you can perceive the future, you can perceive knowledge about the planet, my mind in my dream state was able to look inside the planet and see that the core was spinning at a different rate than the crust. Okay, from there I extrapolated over time to understand global warming. When the crust and the core were spinning at different speeds, it creates friction. And the friction is heating up the Earth from the inside out. And that heat coming up through the mantle and the, or the core and the liquid lava or whatever that is, that fluid, it's heating up the oceans, because the oceans are filling up the deepest cracks. The deepest bottom, if you will, of the ocean is in the cracks of the crust. And therefore, the lowest part of the ocean is heating up, which is not ever supposed to heat up. It's supposed to be ice cold and a certain temperature all around the world to keep the planet cool, I guess. But because it's being heated up, the water is, the oceans are now warming up the atmosphere. And now, as I warned back then, that there was going to be an increase in temperature from 1 degree hotter than the oceans were normally would be pretty bad. 2 degrees Celsius would be terrible, catastrophic. 3 degrees, just horrid. And 4 degrees, which is where it's going to end up at if it isn't there already, absolutely monstrously disastrous. We now have animals that live in the bottom part of the ocean found at the top. We have sharks going along the coastline of North Carolina, and they're coming down the St. Lawrence River and up the Mississippi. There are sharks inland where there should never be, because sharks are not supposed to like fresh water. But apparently they do, because it's colder, I guess. So we're seeing evidence of animal life moving where it ought not to be, but we're also seeing more volcanic activity and more earthquake activity. And to bring it home, we are seeing more windstorms, tornadoes, cyclones, weather pattern disturbances from drought to flooding. You know, one day it's flooded, next day it's flooded, that kind of thing in different parts of the world. And the weather patterns, so that the agricultural people in the world, the weather patterns have changed so much that sometimes they can't grow crops where they've been growing crops for centuries or generations. Why? Get back to the center of the core spinning at a different speed than the crust heating it up. And here's the kicker. Whoever this scientist was, and if somebody's on a Google, they could probably find that instantaneously, because it was just out in the news, was on CNN a couple of days ago, and other stations as well, BBC and whatnot, that they can look at this, and this scientist come up and said, oh, apparently this is something that happens every 70 years, that the Earth's core flips over or rotates opposite to the way it was rotating. In other words, it was going clockwise for 70 years, somehow, mysteriously, randomly, as this professor or scientist has something to say, it slows down, stops, flips over, and or turns anti-clockwise. And I listen to that and I go, what? Don't worry, it's okay, it's natural. What? So there is disaster coming, disaster happening, and the scientists are just verifying what I had projected or seen more than 20 years ago. And then they're telling everybody, oh, don't worry about it, it's okay. It happens naturally. The same as the sun changed polarity. The north went to the south, and the north pole went to the south pole, the south pole went to the north pole of the sun. And that wasn't too long ago, and you can look it up, my friends, on Google. And I had predicted something similar to that. I also had seen 6 sunspots in a row in a straight line when I was doing research for my book, The New Earth, which forecast about these times we're living in. And by the way, a little plug for my own book. It's on my website, Douglas James Cottrell. It's called The New Earth. It has 83 predictions in it, thanks to our friend Maria, who has gone through the book. And she has picked these out. And bottom line is they've happened. There are a bunch more in there. We're talking about political stuff, weather change. And the book was written in 2013. So if you want to know more about what is going to happen, that's a good book. And you can also, in this book, look back and see what I predicted that's come true. So chances are, if 83 of the predictions that have come true, maybe the next 83 that are in the book are about to come true, there's a good chance they're going to happen. However, I did that by writing that book, by meditations, and also interjecting things that I've had in my dreams. And that's a long way of saying that I saw something a long time ago that's just now in the news. I came and I broadcast it out on the air on a radio station way long time ago, and even challenged a popular scientist about looking at it, and nothing was done. And what does that mean? Everything has its time and its place. And so when you go to try to make a prediction for somebody or encourage somebody or tell them to do something, if it's the wrong time, they won't believe it. It's not in their head. Therefore, they can't comprehend it. They reject it because that's how the human mind works. So the approach to people is to talk in parables, which is what Jesus the Christ did. He said things like, you know, don't throw any seeds on stones. Don't throw seeds amongst the thistles because they grow up too fast. They don't put roots down. They're going to fall over. And, if you throw seeds, make sure they go on fertile soil and they put down roots. Then they grow the plant and it's prosperous. And the people listening to that on the Sermon on the Mount went, that's a good story. Yeah, okay, I got it. Don't throw seeds on rocks. That's a waste. Yeah, don't throw them in the thistles because, you know, who wants to go looking for food in the thistles? But put them in the ground, let them take time and put down roots, and then they grow into good, healthy plants. Yeah, good idea. And they left. And then his disciples came back and they said, okay, boss, listen, we heard the story. What did you mean? And he was talking about knowledge. He was talking about spiritual information or wisdom. Don't throw wisdom on rockheads. Then you're going to sink in. Don't throw wisdom in the thistles because it's just going to grow up and they're going to fall down. In other words, they'll believe it today and forget it tomorrow. But throw the seeds of knowledge and spiritual wisdom on fertile soil. Another way, the mind is open and receptive to receiving that information. And at first, the person will digest it, mull it in their mind, mull it over, think about it, let it grow, and take firm root as a truth. And then when it grows into the extra, the benefit, the plant, then it will be able to weather any kind of storm, any kind of extreme. And that's what he was talking about, and he meant about spiritual wisdom and understanding. He wasn't talking about the ordinary things, but he said it in such a way that everybody got a benefit out of that. And that's how we as people who see the future, or as coaches or people who understand spiritual situations and attempt to teach or show people by example, that's what we understand. And we know when somebody doesn't get it, we don't try to shake them and say, but it's the truth. This is the way it has to be. is say, okay, well, that person is going to take some time. Their roots are going to grow, and the plant will be healthy if it's a fertile mind. If it isn't, well, okay, I won't belabor the point. And that's part and parcel why we're going to the Hope Conference in Texas, is to throw down some seeds in fertile minds, people who want to know more. That's the person I want to teach, because they're going to take what I have to say, try it out, work with it, let it grow, and benefit by it. The other person just wants to hear the good stories, like, wow, that's amazing. Okay, what's going to happen next? You know, it's kind of like it's a video. We went a TikTok video. What's the next one? What's the next one? What's the next one? Those are the people that are in the thistles, by the way. So there you go. It's a long answer, but it's in the news now. It was a complete prophecy, like biblical times years ago, talking about the condition of the planet, and then all the other, let's say, concerns that were coming out of that vision. And all I saw was the core of the earth spinning at a different speed than the crust.
So,
that's
Dr. Cottrell, so when you make these predictions, some of those, a significant number of those predictions are predestined. In other words,
it's the difference between prophecy. Yeah, yeah. There's difference between prophecy, and destiny and fate, and chance. So the way around that, Carol, is that there are some things, a few things in your life that you cannot escape. This is your destiny. It's your fate. These are things you have to go through. And then there are other things that you can avoid because you learn from it, so you don't need to go through it. And that's where free will and free choice comes in. Go ahead.
It's like one of my questions I asked some of the psychics, and I asked them, I said, is your life predestined? You know, is many of the events in your life predestined? And many of them say yes, because, you know, that's part of your karma, too, sometimes.
Well, it's part of your purpose, I agree. There are some things in life that you must go through. But my mentor, Ross Peterson, once said, when we were talking about handicapped children, he said, very few must remain as they are born. And meaning that there are many children who are born with, let's say, this just an arbitrary term, damage. They are hurt somehow, physically or mentally. And some of them have to remain that way. They have to remain that way. But for most, they don't have to remain that way. They can improve, get better, change, be healed, be cured, and live with their limitations, but still enjoy a richer life than somebody who's confined to a bed from day one. And then they die between their, you know, ages of 8 or 10 or something like that, sometimes older. Now, I have a personal connection. My daughter was physically challenged, and so we understand those things. But that was what my mentor, Ross Peterson, God bless him, said. And I've come to understand that. Very few of us must remain as we are. However, if we accept our fate and do nothing about it, no attempt to change, then we're doomed. But if you keep looking for opportunities, I'm here to say that change will come into your life when you least expect it, unannounced, without any preparation or without any, let's say, intervention yourself, not by your own hand. Someone will show up in your life, and you have to be really smart to realize they're showing up in your life and to take advantage of them. Otherwise, they may not come back. How many times have we said, an opportunity leaving seems a whole lot bigger than it did coming? I'm speaking with regret because that's happened to me. But the point is that opportunities out of the blue will come to you because God does not punish, okay? The universe provides. And the lesson that you're going through is a blessing. And how you deal with that circumstance is directly related to your spiritual advancement and your future life and what happens to you. So you always look for alternatives. You never accept the obvious, no matter how obvious it is. Say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be in this wheelchair. I'm getting up. And how many times have we seen that on television or on a special where somebody's been hurt? The doctors will make a proclamation of this person's never going to walk again. And the person says, the heck with you. And then they see them on the video, how they're struggling with the parallel bars walking along, how they're on a treadmill, they're in braces, they're going through excruciating pain. But all of a sudden, there they are, walking, maybe with a cane or a crutch or maybe with some support or whatever, but there they are. And so that's the essence of who we are as human beings. The spirit within us is to say, I got a problem, how can I fix it? And you keep on looking for alternatives and keep on looking for ways to fix it. And always, 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 somebody will pop up at that moment. Just when you think the dark is the darkest, they'll pop up and they'll have the solution. They'll know exactly what you need, and they'll take care of you. And you'll go, like, wow, what a lucky break that was. It's not luck. It's your tenacity and your belief. Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, the questions.
We got to move on.
The questions that you have in that envelope.
They're sitting right here, and I knew you were going to ask, and I'm looking over and say, yep, I'm going to try to do that. I promised you last week I was going to have a look at, but I've had a horrendous week this week, as most of us had. So I will get to those questions as soon as I can, and I'm trying my best. Okay, Carol?
Not the contrary.
Everybody's wondering what are those questions. Carol's asked me some questions about something or other, and she's even given me a couple of dollars to answer. So I am for hire. So, you know,
oh, don't
we'll
believe
get to this
it. Don't believe he's gonna ask your question. No.
No. No, I apologize, Carol. It's just, but Doug and I and some other people have been going through some distractions here, and I have been for the last couple of weeks, so I'll get to it, I promise you. I'll look at it again today, and I'll put it on my desk like I did last week. I put it right on my desk, and I put it back on my filing cabinet and walk past it every day.
It's going to curl up on your desk, trust me.
Well, you said that right off the bat, and I'm thinking, you cursed it. You said, don't let that envelope curl up, and I think it's happening. Anyway, Carol, we got to go. We have lots of people in the queue here tonight. So stay warm in windy Chicago. Adios. Okay. Maybe see you in Texas, Carol. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, Douglas. We've got Tomas on the line, and he is calling from Las Vegas.
Hello.
Hi, Tomas.
Hello, Douglas. Nice to see you again.
It's
Do you
a pleasure.
Hear me okay?
Good to have you on the show. Say again?
So I'm called. Do you hear me okay?
I can, yeah. I, there's a little bit of an echo, but I think we're okay. Go ahead.
So I'm calling to ask you about my dream, which happened recently, 2 days ago. I was outside, I don't know really where, but I was looking at the sky. It was blue sky, was sunny, but I didn't see the sun. There was no clouds, but on the sky I saw those rings, you know, like airplane leaves the trace. But so it was kind of like the airplane trace, but it was double circle, like double ring. And I was looking at the sky. It was like to the whole sky in the line, double ring. And suddenly from right to left, the same, through those rings, there was like, in my mind, it was UFO, but it was transparent. I didn't see. And it was shaped like those rings, the same size. And was going exactly where those rings were, from the right to the left on the sky. And there was somebody around me, somebody who I knew, but I don't remember who was it. And I was just looking for confirmation if the person next to me also witnessed what I saw. It like, did we see UFO? Was it UFO? What was it? So that was that.
Okay. Well, you're telling me that you were in a real setting in real life. That there was nothing distorted. You were looking at the sky and you could see these rings, and then they appeared to be a craft and they were moving about in the sky. And then you thought you saw something that was translucent, or at least you could see it, but it wasn't like a heavy metal object or something like that.
No, it was
so while you were doing that,
and it was going very fast, very fast.
Yeah, that's what I meant by saying it wasn't metal. It was translucent is what I meant, which is you could see it. And okay, so I think that's what it was. I think it was a UFO. I think you were actually in the dream seeing something. This was like mind projection. You're seeing something that you're actually going to see in real life. You'll be looking up in the sky sometime, somewhere, somehow, and you're going to see the movement of these craft. And only you are going to see them, not necessarily a person beside you. And that's because you're being able to see them intuitively or extra specially, or you're able to sense the frequency of it, and or you're just spiritually aware. The people beside you may not see them, yet they're not paying attention. They just don't accept in their mind that that's a possibility. But you're alerted to this, and you saw it more than once. So I think that you're having a premonition kind of dream or a prophecy kind of dream where you're actually going to, in the future, see flying crafts that are unidentified. But I think they're going to be those kinds of craft that they're called, not UFOs, but the ones that, what's the term they have, higher UFOs, you know, they're visual, but they're not unidentified. Like, Doug, do you know what the term is for those other UFOs? Used to be the old name. Do you know what the new name
I know,
is for
I know they
UFOs?
Call the UAEs now.
That's the one.
Unidentified aerial UAP phenomena, I think. Yeah, UAPs. I don't know.
UAPs, right?
I believe that's
UAPs.
Right. Unidentified aerial phenomena. Yeah.
And that's what I think,
wrong,
Thomas.
That's
what I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I. That's what you're looking at, Thomas. Is UAPs, because they're above.
Yes, okay.
You can see them. They're translucent, and other people might not be aware of it. And you know, in a dream, your mind would naturally go to you know, intellectually thinking. You would say, "Okay, did you see that over there? Did you see that?" And somebody's going to say, "Nope, I didn't see it." So, don't be discouraged if that's what happens. But this is a dream of you seeing something that you have yet to see. That's amazing.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You know, you should try to do this more. And since you're in Las Vegas, maybe try to see those wheels that spin around in those casinos and see what numbers come up.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Tell me.
Sometimes I didn't retire yet. But that's the plan.
Okay. Okay. Well, good luck to you there. I can do it the first time with no problem. I can walk up to where they throw the block on and it has the birth dates or the months. I can win the first time. But then the second time gets a little harder because my desire to win then kicks in and then I kind of guess. But as long as I don't guess, I can, I can pick the winners in horse races, three or four races in a row. I don't do it very often. I mean, I'm playing with somebody, you know, if we're out for dinner at it's at a racetrack, it's once every 10 years I belong to a club that happens. Or if I'm at a fundraiser and they have the videos where the horses are running the races, I might be able to pick one. But I don't do it because people get mad at me. They say, you're using your psychic ability and, you know, you're cheating. And I go, well, I bought the ticket, didn't I? You know, I paid for the ticket. What the heck? So I get in trouble sometimes that way. So that's another reason I don't do it. But tell me more about what you saw. I'm looking at, there was two people in this craft. Did you see two people seated in the craft?
No, it's, trying to remember. It was, there was like, trace of rings, and they were like double rings, like in the pairs to the whole sky. And suddenly from the right to the left, through those rings, that it was shaped like a ring. It was kind of like, you can say like water, because it was transparent and it was really fast. And I was just looking around. I didn't see anybody in the craft. It was just transparent ring,
okay,
going through those straight to the sky. And person next to me confirmed that he saw too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my satisfaction that it wasn't me that alone. So.
Right. Okay. Well, that means to me that if in the dream I was looking at it as symbolically that somebody was with you and they might not see what you see, and this was your privilege, but if somebody in the dream already could see that as well, then that adds to the notion that this is going to be a real event, that you're going to see it. So make sure you have your cell phone all charged up and that you can take pictures really fast.
Some people say that when you experience encounter, your battery is suddenly dead and phone doesn't work. We will see. The future will show.
That's true. I've heard that before, but I've also, a long time ago, people would come out and say, this is some time ago, when YouTube videos were just coming out. My God, that's eons ago these days. But YouTube videos were coming out, and people would criticize and say, if there really is such a thing as UFOs, with all the cameras out there, you would think that somebody would grab a picture of one. And at that time, I thought, well, that's a good point. So I went on the computer and I looked, and I typed in UFOs videos or whatever, and there were hundreds and hundreds of videos with UFO sightings. One in particular was in China, was in the Orient, I think it was China, and a person was filming out the front of their apartment towards their balcony, and a UFO, a flying spacecraft, came up right in front of the window, and you could look right into the canopy, and you could see two beings inside there. And then it was just floating, and then it took off in a different direction. So what did that mean? Well, that meant that somebody caught a UFO by accident. And when they caught it by accident, they were filming it by accident, but it really happened because there's no monkey business with the camera. So there you go, Thomas. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then, like you said,
you know what you could
you
could also have an old style camera that doesn't depend on electricity, you know?
Right.
One of those little pocket
things
is film. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at the sky often, and I will, but also you were saying that, some people might see, some people might not see. It's up to the whatever power it is. And as the short story to confirm, I can tell you that very long time ago, my grandma experienced something like that. My uncle ended up in the jail for fighting with the police officers. And my grandma didn't know what to do. She was praying. And suddenly she was at the house, and white lady show up at the room, in the middle of the room, dressed up white, and started telling my grandma what to do to help my uncle. And she was listening, and then my grandpa was next to her, and she was telling to the grandpa, do you see her? Do you see her? Listen. And my grandpa said, I don't see anything. And then my grandma did exactly what the lady said, and my uncle got out of the jail. So
there you
it was
go.
Like
that was
angel came, yeah. But she
was only able
to see, yeah.
Yeah, that could have been a deceased relative that would come. Mm-hmm.
She didn't recognize who was it. It was just, yes, I hear you. It was just the lady dressed up white,
okay,
and started telling her what to do with my uncle case.
Well, that's exactly what it was, an angel.
Yeah,
yeah, it was an angel to come and help your grandpa while talking to your grandmother. Who asked? She asked in prayer for help, and then the angel showed up. Where are you, Thomas? There's lots of background noise.
I'm at the gas station. Let me stay away from that. Gas pump.
It sounded like it sounded like you were at work and we're in the casino. I'm not sure if you're there. And we had all these chirping noises in the background there. Your cell phone's picking them up very quickly.
Yeah, I'm at work, but at the gas station at the company.
I was making a joke saying it sounded like the little tinkle bells at the casino. Anyway, the long and the short of it is, the cell phone picks up strange things. The long and short of it, that was a real event. That was a real angel who showed up after your grandmother prayed and gave exactly the information that was needed for your grandpa, even though he couldn't see the lady. And this is why sometimes people report seeing angels and everybody else looks around and think, boy, that person, what have they been smoking or drinking? They're like, yes, there's nobody in the room. Or you go to the more famous appearances of the Lady of Guadalupe, you go to Mary and Lourdes, who appeared to little children on several occasions. Only certain people, for whatever reason, are able to see the Madonna or an angel, and nobody else is able to see them, so to speak. For whatever reason, I don't profess to know that, but the idea is that they can see, and they do see, a divine being who then helps them out somehow, knows exactly what the problem is and what to do for it. But you have to pray first. You have to pray. Okay?
Yeah.
So, Paul's taking care of the background there, so there is a lot of noise on the end. People might not be able to hear you so well, but anyway, thank you for being on the show tonight, Thomas.
Thank you very much, and see you on Sunday at the church.
Absolutely, we're looking forward to seeing you there, and maybe we'll even see you in Texas. What the heck? It's just a hop, skip, and a jump over from Las Vegas, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
See you Sunday. Okay.
Thank you very much.
For being on the show. You're welcome there. Okay. Paul, I think it's time to have a little bit of a commercial break here so we can have a drink of water and things like that.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Douglas, because before you take that drink of water, I wanted to get your feedback on the Hope Conference coming up in Fort Worth. That's in February, the 10th through the 12th at the Best Western Plus Conference Center. I wondered if you could take just a minute or so to tell everyone about what's happening over the course of 3 days, kind of a spiritual enlightenment with personal interactions with you and guest speakers. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the topics that that you're going to cover, what people will enjoy when they come to this conference?
Well, depending on their interest, and because it's a conference, we're going to have other speakers there as well as myself. But in a general way and in no particular order, we are going to go into many things that go on when you sleep, like dreams and visions, sort of a little what we're doing tonight, but in more depth and detail. And as we've had already some appearances of angels and Tomas' experience, we're going to talk about sojourns in the spiritual realms, how to get there, and how to learn the different approaches to the higher dimensions, and then how to interpret the soul's language through dream interpretation in detail and in such a way that the person will be able to have a map and a way to interpret their dreams as we did when we went through that lady who was in a church dream earlier in the show. We're going to explore how to divine guidance leads to prosperity and how to live in harmony with the spiritual laws and how you can enjoy all of God as God's aspects, health, wealth, and peace of mind, and how to increase that prosperity and how you can eliminate your misunderstandings of the supernatural. We're going to talk a little bit about touching heaven and how to discover your ascension and self-realization to become fully realized as a spiritual being. And we're going to talk a little bit about the accessing the heavenly library called the Tree of Life, and maybe touch upon your spiritual records and maybe even your spiritual resume. How's that? Near-death experiences, we're going to give some information about immortality, self-awareness at the time of passing, and more importantly, what to expect when each of us happens to make that big step into the future and we end up on the other side. But we're going to do that through looking at near-death experiences and how the latest scientific research is now coming on board with that idea. More younger scientists, 60% of all scientists believe in some great creation concept, being, or idea, where not too long ago, when I was younger, it was only about 11%. So it's been a huge jump. Why? Because of all the research that's been put forward for near-death experiences, or NDEs. So we're going to talk about that stuff all over the place, all over the map, in a very disciplined and precise way to help build block upon block. And then towards the end, we're going to talk about virtue energy. That's the virtual spiritual power that's inside of you that increases your awareness and helps you develop even further the spiritual gifts that are outlined in the Book of Corinthians, more or less, but also in other religious orders and understandings. Those abilities to see the future, to know things, to get in touch with other dimensions, and as Thomas was talking about, how to pray and have an angel appear in front of you, or, you know, not to talk too gaudy-like things like that, but how to be prepared for the eventuality that that can happen, those experiences can happen to you. And so virtue is that spiritual energy that's a lot like Reiki, or spiritual healing, laying on of hands, or, well, I guess there's a whole bunch of names that we can attach to it, but we're calling it virtue. The virtue energy is a very powerful force that has its own intelligence, it has its own purpose, it's a supernatural ability in that it flows through all things. It's a creative energy that can instantly repair bodies, minds, hearts, and souls. And so we're going to talk in depth on how to do that. We're going to get some demonstrations where sometimes when this energy goes through people, they go into an alpha state where there's rapid eye movements, there's a feeling of great calm, a sense of love that comes over them, and they sometimes feel a surge of energy goes through them, and whatever their aches and pains were or whatever their condition in their body is, it disappears. And we can do this at distance or up close. And on Sundays, when we have our church service, and anybody listening who wants to find out more about our open-to-everybody spiritual healing, Christian-based virtue prayers and healing offered for free, you can go to the website internationalschooloftheprophets.com. Again, internationalschooloftheprophets, plural, .com, and click on the link for our Zoom church services. We have people from all over the world, from Spain to Peru and back again, different places. I think England we had sometimes a little while ago, and that is to say people from England. We know I've had people from Australia tune in as well. So it's unfortunately different time zone than where you are, my friends, and across the country. It's 1 o'clock Eastern time. So make sure you tune in. That's a time we've picked to sort of in the middle of the road kind of thing to have a time everybody can come to. And we practice the virtual healing and the things that you're going to learn about in Texas. It's sort of going to be in Texas a smorgasbord of your spiritual appetites, finding out your spiritual gifts, and basically, you know, tuning you up to those powers that are within you and giving you some very practical guidance and examples, I guess, because we all learn by example, and be able to explain things to you that perhaps other people can't. Because I can do all these things, and I have been doing them for a long time. This is not me bragging. This is just me stating facts. And by being able to do what I teach, then I'm able to teach what I teach because I do it myself. I know what it is, and I know what it is to do it. And that gives me the advantage. Instead of giving you an esoteric lesson, I give you an experiential lesson. So the number to call tonight is 718-766-4421. We have some people waiting in the queue, so let's take a short break, and we'll get back to the 650 and the 804 and the 708 and 773 area codes that are waiting in the wings here. We'll be right back after this short break.
You think about you and your family's health every minute, every day, not just when sick. We believe healthcare should bring results and rejuvenate the body. That's why Dr. Douglas James Cottrell compiled some of his best tips from his readings into a book, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Volume 1. From nutrition, anti-aging, and skincare to serious disorders and diseases like autism, PTSD, and cancer. Find out more at DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or buy a copy on Amazon today.
Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up podcast exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice.
We understand people may have strong opinions that are different than our own. So join us and call in with questions and comments as we attempt to explore the unlimited human consciousness.
You're listening to the Global Village International Broadcast with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. And now back to the show.
Welcome back, my friends. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell, and we're talking dreams tonight. The language of your soul. We're also talking about a lot of other things, a sighting, future sighting that was revealed to Thomas in Las Vegas that is going to happen. He's going to see some, what do we call them, Doug? The UAPs?
UAPs, I believe it's called, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have a hard time remembering that one, UAPs. What does that stand for again?
Unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Wow. That's kind of a halfway measure, isn't it, between the scientific community who said, no, there's no such thing. It's all like weather balloons and figments of your imagination and swamp gas. Those were the things people were told back in the day, back in the 50s and 60s. And now they're saying, well, yeah, they do exist, but we have a new name on them, and we're calling them unidentified altitude or something phenomena. And we're going like, okay, you got a name for it, and it sounds like a watering down from unidentified flying objects.
Yeah,
where
they're not
they?
Objects anymore. They could be anything.
I heard that before where some scientist was on the air saying, well, they could be from outer space, but more than likely they're from the Earth. We just don't know which government is they belong to. Ours or theirs. And you go like, what's going on here?
You know, and could also be
you're trying to talk
gas,
out of both of sides of your book. Yeah, swamp gas, my God. You know, somebody's smoking something. But anyway, you know, it's amazing that it's amazing how the world goes around and people can, you know, see the obvious and then be told it's something else and kind of believe it. But we are going to talk about those things in Texas, and we're going to give examples, teach people how to, by example, learn how to do those things and to more than likely refine what they're already doing. And by example, you know, give a good in-depth explanation of these things. It's a HOPE conference. It's a conference. There'll be people from different places and doing different talks. It is the first one that we're doing, so you never know. There might not be another one, but we're going to be there really for an intense weekend, and the weather's going to be balmy. After all, it's Texas. I'm just going to take my, you know, my shorts and my sun umbrella, but I'll have a pair of heavy boots in the back of the car just in case. No, I'm kidding, everybody. I haven't seen that. I'm looking for clear skies and a good group and a bunch of people to come down and in a small, intimate setting, lots of time for everybody. We're not going to have tons and tons of people, so come on down in Texas and see us in Fort Worth. Paul, we have about, a little bit of time left to go on the show. How many? We got enough time to get everybody here. Where are we going next?
Well, we're going to Virginia on the East Coast, and we've got Vernell on the line.
Hello.
Hi, Vernell.
Hi, Mr. Cottrell. Yeah, I spoke to you before. A few things I'm kind of concerned about. I was hoping that you might be able to clear up. Kind of strange, I would say. Anyway, I have talked to you before in regards to my boyfriend, mm-hmm. as well as my cat. I have spoken with another reader maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was told that my boyfriend told him for me to look out for something on the 20th, and I really haven't seen anything out of the ordinary, but I would play, you know, Wheel of Fortune game on my telephone, on my cell phone, I mean. And when I played the bonus round, you know, all of a sudden, I found myself seeing something that my boyfriend was interested in, a movie, and he was always a Austin Powers movie nut. And he like what Austin Powers used to say in the movie.
Uh-huh.
And so I was surprised that, you know, I ended up seeing, it says, you know, Austin Powers, it said Austin Powers, and it was something else. And I'm not sure if that was maybe some sort of a sign from him, or is that just, you know, me, I guess, overthinking things.
I think that's the case. Yeah. Vernell, I think that's it, just kind of reading into something like that, because somebody put something in your mind and your mind's leaping to look for that. I don't think anything really astounding's happening or has happened, but I see you, you know, just kind of like sitting back, and it's like you're just going along, breeze in your face, and everything's working out okay. A sort of a sense of calmness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see.
Okay. Let's see. And another thing is, on the 3rd of this month, I went to the rent office, which is just maybe a block away from me, to pay my rent like I always do. And these apartments that I live in, they're like single level apartments, and it's like two rows of apartments on the side of the street that I live on, and on each end there's parking lots. And so when I got to the office, and I looked back on my side of the street at the other end, at the other parking lot, and there's like a little wooded little creek area back there. And so I seen police out there, and then all of a sudden more police and fire departments and stuff shows up. And then they taped the area off, and they was talking to this young black fellow that was out there at the time. And so I found out that there was a lady missing on New Year's Day, but it was at 9:30 in the evening. That's when she was last seen. But when I went to the office, it was like around 11 o'clock in the morning. And so it turns out, next thing I know, I found out about the lady's name online. And she really lived the next street over. And they said she was missing. And some people were saying that, you know, she was missing and there was money strewn about on the table. Then next thing I know, I found out that a lady, you know, she was found dead in that little parking lot area where I told you. And and I couldn't help but wonder if she might have passed. I mean, usually with people being found like that, it's because of, you know, someone had gotten killed by someone else. Or, and I was wondering if that's what happened to her, and because I'm really concerned about my safety, you know, if that's the case. And I was wondering if you
you should always be concerned with your safety. But as I said, I see you driving or going along or moving along with the wind blowing in your face, yet you're okay. Just, you know, look over your shoulder. Don't be naive. Don't go out late at night. You know, put yourself in, look behind the trees or the bushes to see if anybody's there. You know, practical stuff. But I see you walking along, and it's even a little dark out, but I don't think you go out too much at night. And I don't see any danger around you at all. But this woman, I think there was some, it looks like somebody hit her on the side of the head.
Oh.
Do you know anything about that?
No. I kept checking online to see if there's been any updates if the medical examiner revealed anything, but they didn't ever say anything about it. And all I know is, you know, she was cremated by now. Her remains was cremated. And there was no other reports. Yeah. And so if she was hit on the head, then whoever's responsible got to still be out there somewhere nearby, maybe.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but what was she doing out there? Who was she meeting? What was going on? That was not by chance. And, that's what I see. It looked like somebody hit her on the side of the head or slapped her or hit her with something, but it wasn't considered foul play. But that's not going to be you. I don't see that for you at all. Okay, so don't be afraid. Just be cautious or prudent.
Okay, would I move at all? Do you know if I move at all or will I continue to live here?
Well, I think we talked a little bit about this before. The opportunity's coming up, and I think it's just a matter for you to say, you know, like, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I want a better place. You know, come on, God, find me a better place. A little bit of impatience, but once you make up your mind for sure, but that means, you know, new things, new places to go, new streets to find out about, a whole new neighborhood. And maybe you're a little reluctant about that, but it's possible, but I'm not sure if you really feel motivated to do that. But when you do feel motivated, that's going to happen. But I just see you going through life now. Pay attention to your dreams and see if you can, in your dreams, find a new neighborhood. That's the place to start. You say, okay, if I'm going to move from here, God Almighty, please give me a dream or show me in a dream or something, you know, not so blunt as that, what the neighborhood would be or the name of a street. And then when you get something, you go and you look. Don't sit on it. You might get a little titty bit of dream, a little tidbit, you know, tiny thing, and it'll be like a corner store or something like that. So you say, I think I know where that store is. And you go and you look around, and then you say, oh, this is the neighborhood I want to be in. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I'm hoping, I know this may sound like a tall order, but I found out that people on disability could try to get a house, and there's all kinds of assistance that they can get to get a house. And I really, it's my hope that I can move into a house when I move the next time, and hopefully it'll be this year. So that's where my mind has really been, and I really couldn't get around transportation-wise because I don't have my own transportation. I'm hoping to, you know, be able to manage to get a house and live in a house until whenever my time comes to leave this world.
Okay. Well, that's not a tall order. Remember, there is nothing impossible for God. That says so in the good book. Nothing is impossible for God. And so it's just a matter of you saying, this is what I want. Please mm-hmm. bring me the opportunities or people who will bring me the opportunities that will get what I want. And there's all kinds of ways getting to what you want. You know, you don't put limits on it. And then some way benefit person, something can come along. Somebody can say at the very best, oh, I like you. Come, I have a place I want you to stay. I think you're a nice person. To somebody else saying, well, I have a place. It's going to suit you, but we're going to take a little work to get you there. We have to do A, B, C, D. And you say, okay, mm-hmm. I'll give it a shot. So between those two, you know, possibilities, somewhere in the middle, a lot of good things can come and they can happen. And remember, you know, mm-hmm. when people want to go on a vacation, they don't say, God Almighty, I want to go on a vacation. God Almighty, I want to go on a vacation. You know, God Almighty, I want to go on a vacation. And then they might not get to go on a vacation where they want to go, like Hawaii or Florida or Texas. Instead, somebody comes up and says, here's a ticket. You can go down to such and such a place on a vacation for a weekend. And you go, well, that's just down the street in my same city. Why would I want to do that? Well, wait a minute. That was your prayer. You want to go on a vacation? Here's a 3-day vacation. And, you know, the person goes like, well, that's not much of a vacation. Whoa, stop it. You asked for something. You got something, you know, meaning you actually prayed for something and you got something that answered your prayer. It wasn't what you wanted. So that's where the lesson is, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open. You have to be specific and say, I'd like to go on a vacation to Tampa, or uh-huh. I'd like to go on a vacation to some other place, Mexico, and I'd like to go for a week or 2 weeks. And then it happens. Lady, just coming back, I know, just this weekend coming, and a year ago or more when COVID was on, she was getting really angry because she was a professional lady, but she refused to wear a mask she used to wear it at work, but she refused to get vaccinated. And so that meant that she couldn't fly anywhere, go on vacation, blah, 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 blah. And then she had a dream where she was somewhere in the south, a tropical island kind of thing, and she was on vacation. And I said, well, there you go. Sooner or later, you're going to be on vacation. Never mind that you refused to get vaccinated. Yes, she says, uh-huh. but everybody has to be vaccinated. They can't fly. I said, well, apparently your dream says that's not true. You're going to go somewhere. And here she's right there right now. She's not coming back until the weekend. And she's still not vaccinated. And at some point in time, she stopped wearing a mask as well. But the idea is pray specifically. And I'm using that as an example for yourself for now. Aim high and look for places you want to go. There's been people on this show who, I'm thinking of this fellow Nathaniel in California, who was looking for a new car and a new place or whatever. And one day he called back and he told us that he had a new car. And we said, oh, thank you. Well, good to know. Thanks for calling. Let us know. What kind of car is it? And he said it was a Tesla electric mm-hmm. car. We went, what? And he said, oh, yeah, they had big benefits. They had give away something and reduce this and qualified for financing that. And I got one. I went, oh, my God. I would have never guessed that a guy who didn't own anything, didn't have a stable place to live, and his employment was spotty, and I'm not trying to put him down. I'm just trying to, you know, say that he had the tenacity to go and ask for a car, and he got it. And he got it.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know the circumstances too much, and I don't mean anything to, you know, to belittle the guy or anything like that. I'm actually doing the reverse. I say, wow, he had circumstances that anybody else would have said, well, they're, you know, I don't think so. It's kind of difficult to get that kind of car. And that car was, I don't know, $38,000 or something. But he got one, and I went, wow, that's the power of the mind. So I put that out to you as well. Make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does. It does. And real quickly, I'm going to ask if it's okay. Is it forbidden for us to open our third eye?
I don't think so. That's the whole idea, is to be able to perceive the future, to be aware of things intuitively. And that's all about the Bible, where the greatest gift is the gift of prophecy. Then there's the gift of wisdom and, you know, all kinds. You read the book of Corinthians and you'll see that they're all there. And virtue will help you open your mind's eye, if that's what you mean by the third eye, which I think you do. And dreams are the way to do it. Start writing your dreams down. And in the morning, you write your dream down, you roll over and you say to the kitty cat, so what do you think? I had a dream where you and I were in Florida. We were like watching crocodiles swim across the swamp. What do you think of that? And you go, well, it looks like we're going to, the cattle say back like, you know, meaning, yeah, let's go, let's go. Anyway, okay. Start with your dreams and then keep a record of them. And as you become more proficient with your dreams, you'll become more proficient with your intuition. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Take care. All right.
Okay.
God bless.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Paul, where are we going next?
We're going out to California. Douglas and PJ is on the line.
PJ, are you in California or Seattle?
Yeah, California.
Okay. Somehow I was thinking a little further north. No. I remember now, we talked on Sunday. You were in California. I mixed you up with somebody else. Sorry about that. How are you?
I'm always in California. Pretty good. And you're talking about dreams. So I was going to tell you about something that I'm not exactly calling it a dream, but maybe you'll be able to answer what the experience was. It was absolutely incredible. There was nothing bad about it. It's not negative. It's an incredible experience. But so I thought I'd tell you about it.
Okay.
So that's what's been going on, you know, somewhat. So this didn't happen recently. I've told very few people about it, because the few that I said, they just said, I'm jealous, I want to do that. So many years ago, I'll never forget this as long as I live. One time I was very exhausted. I had come home from work. I was so exhausted. I was still in California. Actually, I was living in my parents' house, and, just exhausted, and I just laid down in my clothes. I was just exhausted. I went to sleep. I know I went to sleep. And then the strangest thing happened, because time didn't exist or anything. All of a sudden, I'm floating, and I was clear as day. I felt like I was floating. And I was looking down on the ocean, and I was as conscious as I am now talking to you. I was fully aware, completely astonished, floating, looking down at the ocean, not in my same clothes. I just had beach trunks on and nothing else, watching the waves crash, floating, and being 100% aware and awake and conscious of wherever I was here, you know, not like waking up and then I remember the dream. No, I woke up inside the dream. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I could feel the wind, the wind on my chest. I'm going, this is just amazing. And looked down, saw the crashing waves. Everything was crystal clear, the ocean. And I was up, you know, I could see the waves. I probably was up maybe 100 feet or so. That's all I was doing, was just floating and just trying to take in the fact that I was 100% conscious. Didn't know where I was, didn't really know what was going on. And that lasted for a short time. Then there was a flash of silver light. I instantly woke up from, you know, my bed, and I just went like, what was that? What just happened? That's it.
That's all? There's no more?
Nope. That's
I'm
it.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
That was enough.
That, yeah, that,
that really,
that's a combination of...
That was the most powerful thing that's ever happened to me.
Right. And for everybody, there is a first time, which this was your first time that you remember. But this is a combination of things. It's not a dream. The short answer is this was a soul traveling dream. In other words, you were fully conscious, aware, even though you were awake in a dream, you were in an altered state of consciousness. You were at the soul level of consciousness. You could feel, as you say, the air blowing around your body. You could feel yourself moving through atmosphere. You could feel yourself above the ocean looking down and seeing real things in real time. That's because you were out of your body and you were enjoying the trip. And that flash and then waking up in your body was, I call that the elastic band snapping you back into your body. You've heard of, perhaps, that when people do traveling, astral travel or whatever name they put on it,
right.
I try to stay away from names, that there's a silver cord that's attached between the spiritual self and the physical self. Well, that snap or that silver thing was you snapping back in your body. And that's why you were out there, ta-da, having a ball, feeling loving and warm and comfortable and amazing and, you know, enjoying all of the good things in nature. And then something happened and you were abracadabra back in your body. That was the flash you saw was the streak of you moving back at warp speed back to your body. Okay?
Yeah.
That's why you woke up immediately. Do you remember waking up with a jerk or any pain on your forehead, a little dullness on your forehead? Do you remember that?
No, I just remember being in shock that it had
happened.
Good,
the good stuff.
Like, you know, I knew because I had studied astral projection, but, you know, I knew that, wow, I was out of my body. I was somewhere else. And ever since, and many times I've tried to do it again, I've never achieved it. It's just been back, like, you know.
Well,
waking up. But,
yeah.
And I
well,
told
remember
people
this.
About it, and they just said, "Wow, I wish I could do that," you know, because I actually did it, but never understood about being able to do it again.
Yeah. Well, never able to do it yet again. It's a matter where if you did it once, then you can do it. You found your way. It's a matter of getting into that state. And usually the first time is by accident. You don't have any expectations. You're just enjoying the quote-unquote dream. But meanwhile, your mind is changing. Your entire being is changing. And you slip into that perfect comfort. And then you leave your body. And you don't even know it. And that's why you're able to do it, is because you don't know you're doing it, okay? As strange as that sounds. So the next time is to get into that still, quiet frame of mind where you don't care. You know, you're disinterested more likely. And when you're disinterested, you're able to slip into that relaxation, and it'll happen spontaneously. Because it happened once, it'll happen again. That's the rule. But the second time, we all try too hard. We go you're squinting your eyes. You got your hands are made of fists. Your toes are together. Your tummy's all knotted up, and you're trying to breathe really hard, to relax. Yeah. And it's like, it's the reverse is true. So the way to do that and how to do that is what I'm going to teach in Texas, how to relax yourself by breathing techniques, and how to get into that frame of mind or that way that you are, that body, and you're able to be disconnected. You're able to separate between the spiritual self and the physical self. But you can do it on your own again. It's just don't try so hard. Be disinterested, and then see yourself floating somewhere, or remember where you were flying across that ocean. That'll get you back into the same frame of mind, which will make it conducive for you to end up back in that state, back in that point of equilibrium or bliss.
One thing that came out of it was I pretty much really believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that, there's afterlife, I did get that from it. I didn't even think twice after that happened because I kept thinking, I'm out. I did it.
Well,
that's exactly
that in
right.
itself was a great gift.
It was.
So a lot of people struggle with that all the lives. And I just made a comment about, what Douglas said about trying too hard. I have one of my favorite sayings is constipation causes constipation. So you try too hard, you put blocks. And think of situations where you're trying to remember something. You think so hard and you can't remember it. And then you relax and a few minutes later it comes to you. It's somewhat a similar idea. But
right.
It's true, you do it once, you can do it again.
Yep.
Well, yeah. There you go, PJ.
Yes.
Happy.
Yep.
Happy traveling. Or what do you call it? Happy trails.
Happy
flying.
Happy floating. Now, was that different than what people call lucid dreams? Is lucid dreaming something entirely different? Because I have friends who tried a lucid dream. I've never been able to do it. I don't know, but I hear about it. A lot of people are talking about it now in California. They're starting groups up in lucid dreaming. But I don't think it was. I think it's more spiritual what I did.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because you felt the sensations that you felt. Lucid dreaming is something along the lines of being aware and being able to control your dream while you're dreaming, and being able to manipulate or change the dream while you're dreaming. So that's kind of like in between quantum meditation and the other aspects of your mind that you touched upon. As I said in my comments, it was a combination of things that you were doing, which is similar to lucid dreaming. And the changeover would be when you could feel yourself moving in space, moving in time and space, actually, and feeling the acceleration of the emotion plus the, the transition through matter, like wind or whatever. So lucid dreaming is kind of like a static, dream where sometimes you are wide awake when your body is totally asleep, and you just lay there, and you're fully aware of the room and what's going on around about you, but you're stuck in your body. Think of yourself as two things, the physical mass being like a pair of shoes. You put your foot into the shoes, your foot's inside the shoe, totally distinct and feeling different inside the shoe. But when you look at the shoe itself is the covering, but it's 1 foot altogether, the two things. So anyway, with that crude example, it's not lucid dreaming. And lucid dreaming was very popular some time ago, and it gave everybody like a target to try to get to this point, which is extremely complex. It's very difficult to do it on your own.
I have a quick question pertaining to dreams, and this is real time. This is now. Lately, I've just been dreaming and dreaming and dreaming. Normally, I remember something, but now I just wake up. I can't remember a thing, nothing. And I've really been dreaming because I've been exhausted and kind of woke up with different things going on. Then I'll fall back to sleep, then I'll wake up, and then I'll go, I'm going to write this down. This was really interesting. And it's just gone. I don't know whether it's exhaustion or my emotions or whatever, but usually I can remember something, but I'm not remembering one thing.
Well, it's not because you're forgetful, and it's not because your memory is faulty. It's because you're shifting from the left to the right or the right to the left. And by that I mean we normally think in the West we write from the left towards the right when we write things down. So we think that way. Intellectually, we're thinking from the left towards the right. The intuitive mind thinks from the right towards the left. It's backwards. So when you're dreaming and you get to that end of the dream and you're about to wake up, your mind comes to that threshold between right to the left thinking, or dreaming more exactly. You're not thinking, you're dreaming. And when you get to the threshold and you wake up and you cross over and you don't right away recall what you were just dreaming about, in other words, fresh in your mind, you open the door, you walked from the right to the left, and then you slam the door closed, and you continued further walking to the left, waking up, and then you couldn't get back because the door was slammed shut, meaning that when you get to that point of stopping the dream and beginning to wake up, there is a transition point, and the two points or the two sides of that aren't met. Have you ever had this experience? Have you ever walked into a room and then wondered, why did I come in this room? You went into the room looking for something, and then you get there and you go, why did I come?
I did it yesterday. So that's very...
Well, that is exactly the same thing. It's like walking through that doorway as a psychological... I don't know, maybe it's a more than that. I'm just putting the name psychological on it. You go from the hallway where you head in your mind, you're going to a room to get something. You walk through a threshold, which is kind of like the same right to left, waking up, and then you get in there and you go, what the heck did I, why am I in here? And then you walk back out, back to the right side again, and then all of a sudden, a few minutes later, it's like, oh yeah, I left my wallet on the table. Got to go back and get it. So that's a similarity. Happens to us all, but that's if I can put it that way. That's what happens. It's not that you're forgetful, but if you get to that threshold between the two hemispheres of the brain, if you will, between the two points between the subconscious and the conscious, between that part that's intuitive and intellectual, and you hold it on the bridge when you're right there, then you're able to. You're in between and you'll be able to use both minds. So that sometimes people in the morning, they find that when they have concerns or they have a decision to make or they're thinking about something, when they wake up, that early part in the morning is when they get the answer and it just appears to them. It's because they're in between the two extremes, intuition and intellect. Anyway, that's a long way around, but we're going to talk more about that in Texas. And we'll probably, I made a note here to make sure we talk about lucid dreaming since people are interested in it. It's a very valuable way to dream.
And as you get better and better in doing your dreaming and all of that, can you, like, tell yourself before you go to sleep, I want to see the future. I want to see something. You know, can you get yourself a message? Can you program yourself over time as you get better to I want to see the future and get an answer for yourself? Or is that just, you
absolutely.
Know, you actually can
no,
do
it's
that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's called dream incubation.
But it takes lots of training, right? It takes lots of training. Is that it?
No, not at all.
No, you can just try it.
Well, you need...
No, just do it.
There's two ways to do something. You just go and do it, and you stumble around for a while. Or then you go see somebody like me who knows how to teach it, and you don't stumble around. You get to do it real fast. It's kind of like picking up a bicycle, looking at it, and saying, okay, sitting on it. You got to figure out how all the pedals and that works on the bicycle, and you kind of know, you see other people riding it, or you've heard of it. But, you know, you're unfamiliar with everything. When you go to somebody who knows how to ride a bicycle and they say, oh, those are the brakes, the left one is the back, or the front one is the right one's the front, whatever the brakes, and you back pedal and they don't get your foot or your clothing caught in the chain, and, you know, watch out.
Right.
You know, and this is the seat. Yeah. Don't stand up, you know. Just make sure you sit down and you're comfortable, et cetera, et cetera. And then the magic is, okay, now that you've told you all about the parts, is now you have to go fast and learn how to balance. And going fast is scary because you've never gone fast on a bike. So having somebody teaching you, reassuring you, explaining things, gives a person that confidence to begin to go fast on the bike, and then they learn how to balance real fast. Otherwise, you know the story, skin your knee, smack into the tree, you know, bounce off the curb, all that stuff. So that's why it's better to have an instructor or a teacher than to do it yourself. But you can.
Absolutely.
You can. So.
Well, anyway, thanks. Thank you for your insight on my dream, whatever it was. You know, that was, you know, that's extraordinary.
You can say astral travel. You can say mind projection.
Astral travel, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Something like that. But it's more like soul travel. Okay.
Soul travel.
That's what you should say. I was doing some soul traveling. Yeah, that's closer.
Soul travel.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, we're going to go over to Georgia next, and we're getting towards the end of the show, PJ. So take care, my friend.
Thanks again.
And we'll see you on Sunday. Okay.
Yes, we will. Okay. Thank you
again.
PJ. And thanks.
Doug's right here in the background.
I don't say much, but I'm here.
You. I think without asking Paul, we're going to head on over to Georgia, it looks like, next.
Hello.
Hi, Kay.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
We're okay. Thanks for calling back. I saw you dropped off for that bit there. And,
yeah,
and Paul's doing
sure
a fantastic job.
Yes, he is. Thank you.
Would you have a dream?
A little bit. I wouldn't say I came in a little bit slow, but I did kind of touch the desk. I dream very vivid, and I can remember a lot of them, but sometimes I don't. But one thing that I find amazing, if I am in a dream that is turning, it's not going well, something's happening, like if I'm driving, I can feel myself about to drive off the road or something, I can wake myself up. I can hear myself having the conversation. This is a dream. This is not real. Come back. And I can bring myself out of the bad dream.
Very good. That's excellent.
That's what PJ.
Yeah. Yeah, PJ was talking about that, about lucid dreaming, and that's I'm going to just sit down for a second. Hang on.
Yeah.
But I mean that I was moving my by that. But just a second. I know what it is. We have a little technical issue here. How's that better? There we go. I was moving my microphone. That's what I meant. So anyway, PJ was just talking about that, which is more like lucid dreaming. We are aware in the dream, as you were, and then you didn't like the dream, so you woke up. Well, next time you can change the dream. You don't need to wake up. You can just change it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you back up, and you let's say you're driving the car, and you see a park, and you drive up, and all of a sudden the car goes over the curb and ends up in the park. Okay, so instead of waking up, you back up, and now you see yourself coming towards the park again, and then you turn the car to the left, or you make allowances so that you don't hit the curb and bounce into the park. That's taking control in your dreams, and by doing that, you're controlling the outcome of the dream, which is controlling your future.
Okay. Thank you. That's interesting to know this.
Well, it's interesting that you're able.
Sometimes out of fear, not necessarily totally fear, but maybe control. I'll just wake myself up.
Well, if you can control yourself to wake up, then why can't you control the dream to continue on and change?
I'm sure I could. I just never even thought about doing it. So very interesting. I look forward to making that attempt. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're able and capable because, number one, you have self-realization in the dream. And then by having that self-realization, just need that instruction or the direction, as we're talking about tonight, that you say to yourself, nope, I don't like that. I'm going to change it. And part of the technique that I teach when we talk about those kinds of dreams is how to erase the part of the dream that you don't like, and then how to redo it or make it better so you're able to have a different future, a different outcome. That's what dreams are all about. You're always looking forward, and if you can, if you're something, your dream is showing up like you're going to have a flat tire, which is somewhat common, but, you know, cars with cars that break down. So you see in a dream you're going to have a flat tire. So what do? You take your car to the garage, and sure enough, there's a nail sticking in your tire that the tire isn't gone yet, flat, but it's there. So your dream has forewarned you. That's kind of a common forewarning kind of dream. It allows you to change the future. So then the next thing is, if you have a traveling dream and you see something that you don't, you know, a different destination you want to go to, you just change it in the dream, and it changes your life in the future. Okay, how's that? Was that good enough for the week you were? Go ahead.
That makes perfect sense, and because I had a question about relationships, how do you do that? That ultimate end for relationships.
Well, what do you mean? To get a relationship? You mean?
Yes, to get a relationship. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, well, if you're getting a relationship, you commit the prayer that is very famous on this show. God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty, from your infinite supply of men, please send me one, the sooner the better, who is, and then you put in three or four things you'd like, likes to go walking, likes to play tennis, likes to go to theater, whatever those things are that you'd like to say, you know, and who will be my good friend. And then you say, please sound the sooner the better. I am very grateful. Amen. And then you look attractive, and you be attractive in your mind. You're always flirting or looking for somebody, you know, the regular way. And sooner or later, somebody will show up. And because of that, I always add a little bit at the end of the prayer, which is, and please send me the sooner the better. And please make me aware that this is the man when he shows up at the time. Please and thank you. Sometimes people dismiss relationships when somebody comes out of them. So anyway, in your dreams, they're looking for that. You can reach out in your dream. You can look in your dream, and you'll see somebody way in the distance with their hand up waving at you. Okay? And you wave back at them, and you say, I live in Georgia. I live in whatever town you live in. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or check out my Facebook page or whatever. But that's how it goes. Okay?
Okay. All right. Yes, okay. I have met someone that I was interested in, and I just wondering if it would go anywhere. But listening to how you talked about the dream analysis, it makes sense. Trying to trigger.
Well, you look in the future. You say, you know, as PJ was asking about dream incubation, you can say, looking at this person, you can say, I'd like to know. If this man was going to be my, or whoever it is, this is going to be my best friend, my partner in life, and that we're going to stay together. And if we are, I'll see the two of us really old in the dream. If we're not going to stay together, I'll see myself all by myself in my chair. So you give extreme points of view. And then you wait and see, and the next day you have a dream, and the two of you are sitting there in wheelchairs in the old folks' home drinking champagne. You say, well, it's going to be cool. Yeah. Okay, Carrie, got to go. Okay. I think we're just about running out of time here. Okay,
thanks for your call. Thank you very much. Blessings to you.
You're welcome. God bless. I think we're just down to the wire here, Paul. I guess we've got to everybody, have we? Or no?
Yes, Douglas. We've gone through a good long list of people tonight. I just wanted to mention, by the way, you were talking again about the Hope Conference. There are special room rates at the Conference Center, the Best Western Plus, where we'll be holding the conference in Fort Worth. We've got special room rates for everyone who is attending. I just wanted to make people aware of that. I think it's going to be a really great gathering of a lot of like-minded people, fellow seekers.
Well, we certainly hope so, Paul. It's February the 10th, 11th, and 12th. You never know. Maybe Valentine's lucky, you know, if you come to Texas. Big things happen in Texas. So we're looking for everybody. By the way, HOPE stands for Heavenly Organization that prepares everyone for the future. So you're welcome to come down. We're looking for people like you. We want people like you. We want people who are self, I guess the word's in accord. And we're here to try to help the world, and this is a way to do it. You know, we're going to talk about the DNA of your soul, which is extremely important if you're trying to find out who you are at the deepest levels and how you can enliven that spiritual consciousness, that virtue that's within. We're going to do some experiments, and we're going to do some work with that, and then we're also going to use that virtue energy to put some energy through people who are there to see if we can help them with their physical conditions, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. We're going to look at how that energy can course through the body, sort of a combination of chi energy, life force energy, Reiki kind of thing. I'm just throwing the names out to give you some idea that this energy itself, this virtue, is the most powerful energy, and you can control it. Now, PJ came up with a wonderful experience tonight about his spontaneous soul traveling. That happens to us all that one time. But then we need to talk to somebody and get the truth about what it is so that we can do it again, or so that we can have some parameters on how we can safely operate with our spiritual awakening. And that's what this conference is going to be all about, Paul. We're going to address these issues that are very, very important. And remember, once you learn a lesson, you know the way, one step closer to where you want to go. And that's what I see my job is kind of being the tour guide, if you will, you know, the way shower, the fellow with the maps to the celebrity houses in Hollywood kind of thing. We're going to get you to where you want to go. So it's, again, February, a best month of the best month to start things. February 10, 11, and 12, and as Paul has said, there is special room rates, and you're going to find yourself with some really good folks, maybe people that will end up being your friends for the rest of your life. brothers and sisters in your own spiritual community. And we look forward to seeing you all there. So I noticed, Paul, we're just about out of time, and I've enjoyed the show tonight. We've gone coast to coast to coast, I think.
Yes. You know, there was one thing I wanted to ask you about, Douglas, virtue healing. I've seen pictures of virtue healing that you've been involved with around the world, but I've never seen it in person. Can you explain a little bit about what that is and how that works?
It's kind of like asking me to explain color to a blind man.
How to see
color to somebody who's blind? You have to experience it yourself. And so when you do experience it, it is an extremely profound thing. I can liken it to, let's say, electricity, where you grab a hold of an electric wire and you get that tingle that goes through your entire body.
Mm-hmm.
And you say the wire was empty. It was bare wire. I touched it. I didn't see anything. And I felt this charge go through my body. Where did that come from? Well, that's sort of like the same thing, is that you have to be initiated and awakened with this wonderful, amazing spiritual energy that kind of gives you a shock to wake it up. And I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. This isn't a shock like electricity, like, ooh, this is like being kissed for the first time. It's like being hugged by the warmest, most comfortable, most loving being that's ever hugged you outside of your mother. It's wrapping yourself around this amazing energy that stays with you and can continue with you all the time if you're in harmony, if your mind's in harmony, and your awakening is there, that you don't, you know, kind of let the edge off kind of thing. You kind of continue to regenerate this energy. And that's what we do. Anyway, I see we're out of time, so we'll say goodnight to everybody. Doug, last word?
Just wanted to reiterate, as has been demonstrated on this program, dreams are extremely powerful and significant forces in your life. So if you start remembering your dreams and writing them down, then it can really help you with your life, as you said before. But if you make the intention to write your dreams down, then you'll get more dreams, which has been my experience.
Well said, Doug. Well, I'll say goodnight. And Paul, any last word or so? We just talked about the conference. We hope everybody can make it. We're looking forward to everybody. Lots of time to book your room. And I'll just say goodnight to everybody. And on behalf of myself and Doug and Paul, we hope to see you here next week or on Sunday or in Texas. Last word, Paul.
Well, I'm looking forward to Texas myself, Douglas. I've always really liked the state of Texas. There's so many. It's such a huge state, but Fort Worth and Dallas are two of my favorite places. I mean, it's like two in one, really. It's like having two cities, and it is two cities right next to each other, but a lot of diversification between the two, and it's really a fun place to visit. A lot of great restaurants, too. So I'm looking forward to it.
Good night, everyone. We love you. We hope to see you right here next Friday with another exciting topic. To everybody, may God bless you with health, wealth, and peace of mind. We're just about out of time, so I'll say good night, my friends. God bless. See you in Texas.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village International Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by Mind Probe Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell and Associates Incorporated. Copyright 2022, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.